Please, counsel, grab your seat. It is 9:02, Wednesday, April 9th. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. We had a good weekend this weekend, and we are blessed. The Almighty is giving the invocation is Pastor of Life in Deep Ellum, Rachel Curry Triska. Ms. Triska serves as Executive Director and Lead Pastor of Life in Deep Ellum, a cultural center and faith community in Deep Ellum, historic neighborhood, as you know, in Dallas. She holds a Master of Divinity from the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, which includes a study of Eastern Christian thought at Asia Pacific Theological Seminary. She and her husband Joel, pastor of LIDE, reside in Dallas with their two young daughters, Celie and Haven. I appreciate you being here. Following that, Mr. Allen will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you today for the opportunity to come together and to do the work of this city. Father, I pray that you would make their work today a joy and a blessing. God, I pray for their families. Lord, I ask that you would just be with each of them in the ways that they need the most. Lord, I pray that in the work that is done today, that as heavy and weighty and monumental as it can be in a city of this size and of this importance, that you would make their work a joy, that everything that you place in their hands to do, that they would be able to do it unto you, Father. Lord, I pray that the work that is done today would be not only to build this city, but to build your kingdom and to advance your purposes. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to your will and to your kingdom coming until your purpose is being done. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of these councilmen, God, that you would give them courage, that you would give them wisdom. Father, that you would just stir up the gifts and the talents that you have placed in this body, and that you would use it for your kingdom's purposes and for your glory. God, we give you the work that is to be done today, and we pray that you would bless it. And I ask these things in the strong and sure name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ms. Triska. And thank you for being in Deep Ellum. We love Deep Ellum. Mr. Allen was talking to me the other day, and he wanted to be recognized this morning before we start our activities.
Mayor, you alluded to it earlier, but what a great weekend that we ended up having here in the city of Dallas. I don't know the people to thank. I don't know who to say thank you to, but I do know this. All the hands that were involved in this past weekend, for the rest of us, we ought to be clapping for them, because what they did, they put Dallas on the map. Dallas is always, but they put us on the map. I did not see one single individual that was not having a good time here in Dallas, Texas. And so I don't know who you are, but all those folks that were involved, big time thanks, big time thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Caraway.
Yes, Mayor, and I wanted to ask for a moment for a point of personal privilege on another topic. But before I get to that topic, I want to say to our Dallas police, they absolutely did a tremendous job in our city. The Dallas police, they were on every corner, Jerry. They had the yellow raincoats on, Mayor. And people came downtown, they went throughout the city, they went throughout the region. But our Dallas Police Department and everyone that did participate, as you said, as related to making it a tremendous success. Mayor, we got to do something. We got to do something for our staff and for the police and everybody involved. I mean, kudos to the utmost to them. I saw them and I said I was going to come and talk about it, because they were showing up, showing out. No one showed out. because of the presence and the safety, and safety brings about fun. And as I was reading in the newspaper today, Mayor, we are still receiving the residuals, even to date, from hosting that. And I would hope that with the upcoming conventions that we're now one of the finalists in, and other conventions, folks will be able to continue to choose Dallas. And we, Dallas, show up and show out AC, congratulate everyone involved. Give them something. Do something. Send them a personal note. Do whatever you need to do with every single employee with that. Now, you want to respond, AC, then I'm going
to... No, I just wanted... We did have a chief that was in the room, and if he could just... He was there, just to bring his uniform out here.
Where is that chief? There he is. There, around that chief.
Yes, Mr. Carroway, how are you?
Well, there's just a lot of planning that goes on with the in the police department, a number of other departments, the convention and events service department, et cetera. But, you know, there's the leadership that is provided by the police chief on down through the ranks, and we greatly appreciate the work that you and yours do. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll pass it on to the troops as well.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Mayor, my point of personal privilege for myself, let me just say, and I'm asking my colleagues in AC, I want to ask you, I'm not going to call a press conference for this, it is my intention to begin a process, and I'm asking you to begin the process of us renaming a street. We very proudly renamed the Convention Center K. Baylor Hutchinson. I think that is tremendous. But I would like to begin a process in renaming Lancaster Avenue to Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela Boulevard, Nelson Mandela Parkway. I'm going to be asking my council members to please be in support as we go through this process. And I want the process to move as swiftly as possible. But I do think that that is something that we deserve and that is most deserving in honor, and it leaves a legacy in the heart of the southern sector. So with that, thank you, Mayor, for that opportunity.
Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Since we're talking about NCAA and basketball, I want to give a shout out to the great James Madison High School, who has gone back-to-back. In their championship, and so I am so proud of James Madison High School, and so I just wanted to give that shout out for what they have done twice back to back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Where did you graduate from high school, Ms. Davis?
The great James Madison High School.
Oh, great.
The class of 1980.
It is a wonderful victory for them, and to go back to back is says so much about the young men at that school. Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not sure if all of you know where the Pearlstone Grain Elevator is, structure just north of I-30 and 2nd Avenue. But we're working to convert these silos into lofts, and Mr. Jim Rogers, a constituent of District 14, actually dropped off some of the honey that the bees in the silo right now, who is their home right now, made. And so I hope he wants to make sure you guys get to enjoy the honey. So that's why this is in front of you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Medrano. We'll take our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your morning speakers begin with Richard Sheridan, William Hopkins, Robert Ceccarelli, Henry Raynard Williams, and Juanita Wallace. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the room for the session of the meeting. You have 3 minutes to speak. Please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. And if you would, when the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. Your first speaker is Richard Sheridan. And Mr. Sheridan will be followed by William Hopkins and Robert Ceccarelli.
Mr. Medrano, would you turn your mic
off? Sorry.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sheridan.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. I appreciate being here. 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. Home is Jericho Day 6, Jesus and Caiaphas. When I began the 7 Jericho days for our homeless in January, I never thought it would take months to get to day 7. But who am I to set a schedule to God's work? Each one of us is just a player, an instrument in his orchestra. As the horns brought down the walls of Jericho, so will God's orchestra today, I pray, send out the appropriate vibrations to bring down the walls of heartlessness, indifference, greed, and racism towards our homeless and poor. We come upon another great biblical story, Easter, where we celebrate the man who changed the world. Jesus set the Western world on a different and better path, a world that began to transition from idolatry, from the worship of idols and material things, from the worship of men, the worship of kings and queens, to the worship of the one, our God, our Father. Here's a very appropriate parable that Jesus told the Pharisees after he had just entered Jerusalem with great commotion, a parable that very much relates to our city and nation today. It's one about a vineyard owner who hired vine dressers to bring in the harvest. However, he was betrayed by those who he had entrusted with the work. Quoting Jesus, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers, those who killed his son and his servants? He will utterly destroy those evil men, and he will let out the vineyard to other vine dressers who will render him the fruits of their season." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord this has been done, and it is a wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and will be given to a people yielding its fruits. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But upon whom it falls, it will grind him to powder." And when the chief priest Caiaphas and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they knew he was speaking about them. And though they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the people because they regarded him as a prophet. Today, to me, and I think to many others, Dallas is both a Jericho and a Jerusalem in many respects, with many similarities. It's been said that to demonize someone is a very bad thing. Certainly I've been demonized, wrongfully. But what if someone is doing evil, truly doing evil? Should we ignore such actions to let the resulting abuse, suffering continue on the people? No, we must not. Jesus showed us how we must conduct ourselves in front of our government bodies and government officials. And so I say that Dallas's mayor, who issues immoral laws, serves Dallas special interests, violates our Constitution numerously, promotes a lifestyle that is unbiblical. Sometimes you're a modern-day Caiaphas mayor. I say to you, Mayor Rawlins, your days are numbered according to Jesus' words and God's laws. Matthew 25:31-46 tells of your coming punishment and the punishment to all those for their abuse of our homeless, if you and they continue on the current path. However, there's no buts about it. Redemption is for all, Mayor, even for Rich Sheridan. Certainly by the perception of some, I'm a very evil man. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And thank you, Jesus, and thank you, God.
Thank you, Ms. Sheridan.
The next speaker, William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins is going to be followed by Robert Ceccarelli, Henry Raynard Williams, and Juanita Wallace.
I gave us some papers to give out to
Mr. Hopkins. Your time is going. If you want to go ahead and start
speaking. I gave her the papers, Mayor Rawlins, way before I spoke, so I don't know why my time is running. I gave her the papers way. She didn't sit there, Mayor Rawlins, and never gave y'all the papers. And I've been sitting right over there waiting on
her. I'll talk to her about it.
You'll talk to her about it. Okay. You say you're going to talk to her about it. What I just gave you is a court order where the city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued the RSR lead smelter. You said you were going to talk to that lady there about it. You told me you was going to talk to me about it. You said, William, I'm going to get back with you. Due to this lawsuit where the city of Dallas sued the RSR lead smelter. Your first day on the job, you've been knowing this 2 years. You told me you won't talk to me about it, too. So what if I believe you're going to talk to her about it? Can you say something about this lawsuit I gave you the first day on the job? Now, mind you, in West Dallas, they have the funerals, and you have to, and the funeral homes is coordinating where we can go to one funeral and make it to the next funeral, Mayor Rawlins, for the people that's dying, the blacks that's dying in West Dallas. Now, all the city council members had this same court order, and when you talk to the president of the United States, Barack Obama, and you never said nothing about this, about the people dying in West Dallas, you white and the blacks on the city council never said nothing about the blacks dying. But, you know, we you got a bag on a tree in the media. They'll show the bag on the tree. But I've been coming down here 15 years talking about the blacks dying in West Dallas, Mayor Rawlings, and the media won't show it. The Dallas Morning News, they wrote an article in the Dallas Morning News, Mayor Rawlings, December the 17th, 18th, and 19th in 2012, where they tested in West Dallas for the lead, the Dallas Morning News. Now, they tested positive, and the media never showed nothing, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 8, Channel 11, they never said nothing. But when the white people had lead, they showed it on TV. In Frisco, the media is Ku Klux Klan media. I show it in Frisco when the whites dying, but when the blacks dying, they won't show nothing. But I want to talk about the police too. At Southwest Station, the police, my son was robbed with a hunting knife, and they let the kids stay in the school, and they took me to jail for calling 911. And the police officer told me that they wasn't gonna do nothing. There wasn't nobody gonna say nothing. No blacks, John Wiley Price. He said Charles Cato wasn't going to say nothing when my son got robbed. Charles Cato was getting paid at Kimball High School when my son got robbed. The police officer told me they was a Ku Klux Klan, that wasn't nothing going to be done. The police at the Southwest Station was a Ku Klux Klan and wasn't nobody going to say nothing. So I tell Randy Hampton, he was the chief, Mayor Rawlings, he was the chief of the police at the Southwest Station. I tell him, he said he was a Klan, Randy. Can you help me? He said, no, I know they're the Klan. William, I can't help you. Mayor Rawlings, I'm trying to get the FBI to find out if this true, you know, and see if this and if this happened. And if Robert Thomas was in a Ku Klux Klan meeting when I was talked about in a Ku Klux Klan meeting, he was the security guard. He was over the securities down here. Robert Thomas, he was over the security when my name got brought up in a Ku Klux Klan meeting, and I want to know if that's true, too.
Thank you. Your time's up. Well, thank you.
Your next speaker, Robert Ceccarelli. Mr. Ceccarelli is going to be followed by Henry Raynard Williams and Juanita Wallace.
Good morning, everybody. Robert Ceccarelli. Mr. Mayor, I found out last week there was going to be a meeting between the City Council and the School Board of Trustees. It's a recipe for disaster. Two City Council members were here right now, sir, will not let you talk. They're going to try to bury you 10 feet under. Right now, and also I'm talking about Burnett Nuttall, Mr. Blackburn, and Ms. Ranger. Sir, the only reason I believe you're doing this is because of what's going on in Chicago. The mayor is getting very good publicity, what he's doing, and you want a piece of the action. Mr. Mayor, I've told you several times already what needs to be done, and you and Mike Miles don't have the faintest idea of what's going on. You've been talking about teacher effectiveness. Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why, sir, Mr. Mayor, why teacher effectiveness is not as great as you and Mike Miles say it is. I'll give you the best example, Larry Brown, coach of SMU. Great teacher, great coach. Last year, he bombed out. Did worse than Matt Doherty. According to you, sir, and Mike Miles, Larry Brown should have won the NCAA championship because he's a great teacher. Larry Brown disagrees. What happened there was he got rid of four players, he got four new players. Sir, that's why he won, because of the talent. Sir, I'm trying to tell you that it's the students that needs to be concerned about. As far as student accountability, as far as student discipline. If you do that, sir, you'll win over the teachers. I promise you. You'll win over the city council members. You'll win over the school board trustees. You and Mike Miles have failed to do this at all because of your own political agenda. Sir, another example why you're not correct about teachers is Woodrow Wilson High School. I brought it up here in economic developmental meeting. Remember I told you 40% of the whites, 5% of the blacks are college ready. Sir, even your own admittance said it was poverty, not teacher effectiveness. Remember that, sir? The third one is you said the DISD, to be better, they need to get the families back in here that left in the mid-1990s, the middle-class families or families to come back in. Sir, it had nothing to do with teachers. These are three reasons why you and Mike Miles are not getting the point across. You're trying to be like Chicago. You want to get some kind of political meeting with Obama, you and Miles. He ran for Senate. Politics and education do not mix. But I promise you, at this meeting next week, all hell will break loose. Davis Carraway will bury you, okay? I know that. I've seen her in action in Madison High School last March. Nuttall will bury you. I've seen her in action, okay? Juanita Wallace, I'm not saying, but she... I told her about the meeting. But next week, if that meeting goes, VISD and Dallas will be separated. I'm asking you, sir, to meet with you immediately. I've been telling you what I did at Lincoln High School about Ms. Swan and Ms. Hawthorne. You refuse to do it. You're not interested in Lincoln High School, or you would check what I've done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chakarelli. Mr. Cadane, I forgot to brag on you.
Oh, whatever.
Okay. I think your alma mater also had a big birthday this weekend. That was that.
Giant birthday, 85 years.
85 years, yeah. The great Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson High School.
It was.
And they're still going strong. I'll tell you, our school's in great shape.
That's
there.
Great. Well, congratulations.
And thank you.
Thank you for
being there.
Thank you for leading that. Thank you, Ms. Rios.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Henry Raynard Williams. Juanita Wallace will be the final speaker this morning.
Good morning. I'm here this morning because I have a complaint about the Dallas Police Department in West Dallas. I was assaulted. I got one to complain and two to ask for some help. My problem is I got assaulted by an employee of a store. I called 911, asked for the ambulance and the police. The ambulance came, but the police didn't come. So the next day, I was kind of, still mad because I didn't get no action or nothing like that. And I went back up to the store to get to, to talk to the owner of the store about his employee. The owner eventually called the police, and the police came out. And when the police did come out, it was like three different calls of police. And I was at my house anyways by that time. But they came out, and make a long story short, the police scolded me. He wouldn't allow me to make a report. He told me I had to go down to Hardwood and Gasson or someplace to make a report. And you got three cops right here that could have easily gave me a report number. And I know that's the policy. And I have had a friend that has died because the police didn't come. They didn't come the first day. And then the second day, when they did come, they wouldn't even allow me to even much make a report or get a report number. Told me I got to go downtown somewhere and get a report, make a report somewhere. And I just need to know. I know that's not the policy because when you call 911, they got to show up and make sure that everything is okay no matter what. If it was a baby called the 911, if it was a grown person called the 911. So my complaint is that, and I need help to find out what's my next steps to a process of getting me a lawsuit going, and at the same time, what's my process of trying to file this report because I was assaulted. And Mr. Curlway, you should know me as Boozilla. And I met with you and all of them preachers and all everybody, the police chiefs and all them one time, and we talked about this here. But this is a problem now. It has affected me. And I really need some answers, and or either some way to go about how to handle this situation. Thank you.
Mr. Blankenbaker is right over here, okay? The Chief Blankenbaker, he will help you and give you some advice on those questions that you ask. Okay? Thank you.
I was going to say the same thing,
okay.
Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your final speaker this morning is Juanita Wallace, and you did receive some handouts from her.
Has the handouts been given out?
Yes.
There are two handouts and a packet.
I'm Juanita Wallace.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? 1409 South Lamar, Dallas, Texas, 75215. I'm speaking today on behalf of a coalition opposing home rule school takeover. In the packet, you will see that these are facts, collaborative efforts on the part of education as well as a policy for home rule. So I gave you the microwave piece, and I also gave you the entire piece. It's done by Dr. Julian Vasquez Heilig. Take your time and read it. If you don't want to read it, you don't want to give it back because it does cost us to print the paper. Raise your hand if you oppose home rule school. Raise your hand if you've been paid to support home rule school. By the way, the district is worth $1.5 billion. $1 billion. So if you weren't paid at least $1 million for your vote, you've been cheated. If you have the decency, the honor, the legacy, let's at least recognize the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the 15th Amendment to the Constitution, giving blacks the right to vote. Let's honor that. Civil Rights Act of 1964, prohibiting discrimination of all kinds, including education. Let's honor that. And Brown versus Board of Education. Home rule school, support our public schools, those are deceptive names that are being thrown around. They are not to support Dallas Independent School District. Home rule school is discrimination, not innovation. The takeover district is exempt from the state minimum salary, exempt from due process, will no longer adhere to counseling for our students here in DISD, no due process in disciplinary actions. The law regarding governance will no longer be in place. Seven member, 14 will be out of the window. Fair game will be open for the mayor to take over. Mayor, don't you have enough just to run the city without trying to run DISD too? Who is supporting this? Well, I gave you the information. 5 board members. There are 2 local PACs that are receiving money, and they've given the money to every one of the trustees except for Carla Ranger. We also have information coming from Trustee Morath as well as the mayor talking about advocating long days. You can do that without home rule school. You don't have to have home rule school to do that. They want to be flexible, teacher salary. You can do that without home rule school. They want to broaden the curriculum. We insist that you broaden the curriculum. As a retired educator, it's very important to have a broad curriculum and to integrate. Reforms. This is what we want. If you want to keep the school and if you don't want to displace, mistreat, discriminate, this is what you do. You get a full day for pre-K, class size reduction, guarantee qualified teachers with competitive salaries, integrate school by class, and not discrimination. Every school should have PBIS, which is a positive behavior intervention. Thanks. Educating a child is not a rehearsal. We must get it right the first time it's done. Read the package. If you have any questions, please call me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your speakers this morning.
Let's move to our agenda.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'd say just out of interest, I know I believe Ms. London's here, and she has a young infant child and also another child. If she wanted to go ahead and speak now, so just so the children don't have to sit here all day, I'd be open to making an exception just for that. Since she's the first one in the afternoon.
Second.
Please.
Thank you.
Ms. London, council wants to hear you.
Got to look out for the babies.
Hello. Thank you. Miss London, 1411 North Crocker Hill Road. Okay. I'm here on 2 different issues. I want to talk about the home rule issue also, but another issue is with DPD. We have DPD living in our apartment complex. They do not want to serve and protect our children, and I have a problem with that. I live right by the park, and I'm looking at kids being ran in the house by Officer Chandler and Officer Kine. Now, I called the police station and asked them, can they do something about it? But I guess I was being ignored. So I want something done about it because the kids are supposed to be able to play in their own community. You know, this is your district, Ms. Alonzo. But they should be able to play in their own community at the park. You know, and their teenage kid friends, you know, the teenage kids, they can look over the look out for their little sisters and brothers also. So we want something done for them to be able to play in their own community. The police comes out and they take them to different places. But they want to play in their own community, too. You know, it's all right to take them bowling and all that, but they want to still play outside. You know, otherwise you must have sex offenders in the neighborhood that we don't know about. So that's the point. That's the issue that I'm looking at. If they have sex offenders, then of course we need an 18-year-old or above, you know, outside with the kids. But otherwise, that's not the issue. Now, the home rule, everybody saying they're against it, I don't know, you know, because I've seen some of everything. But the point is, don't say that it's been messed up for a couple of years. It's been messed up a long, long time. But I want to see why you want to do something now. Hinojosa came here and stole a whole lot of money. Then y'all let him go to Atlanta, didn't prosecute him or nothing. So what happened to that? You know, believe me, the credit cards, a lot of people stole a lot of money from the kids. So now you got the home rule coming in with this $2.3 billion, $1.8 billion, whatever. It's billions of dollars going to be stolen. And, if we have to try the home rule, we want to prosecute people when they steal it, though. People need to be prosecuted when they steal from these children. Do not come in and steal this money from these kids. If you want to help the kids, please help the kids, the poor kids. Because you always, quote-unquote, say poor kids. All of them ain't really poor. But some people are poor. You know, I got friends. We all done graduated, can't get a job, sir. So we've been led to be poor because we can't get a job, you know. I mean, ain't no such thing as a middle class when you spend all your money. Every dime you get is gone. You can't save nothing. So I got a problem with that. But the point is, if you're going to help the poor kids, really help the poor kids. You know, don't go steal the money because we're going to put you in jail if you do. That's just what it's going to be. Everybody that steals this money, when the home rule come out, because I already know you got the signatures. When the home rule come out, if you steal this money, we want to put you in jail. FBI, help us out. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Ms. London.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We move now to your first item on the voting agenda, approval of minutes of the March 26, 2014 City Council meeting.
We got a motion and a second. Any edits, additions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 31 and addendum items number 1 through 5. Pulled for individual consideration are agenda items 13 and 14, 20 by Councilmember Kingston. Councilmember Grayson is pulling agenda item number 23. Councilmember Kingston is pulling agenda item 27. And both Councilmembers Kleinman and Councilmember Grayson are pulling addendum items number 3, 4, and 5. Therefore, the consent agenda for your consideration are agenda items number 2 through 12, 15 through 19, 21, 22, 24 through 26, 28 to 31, and addendum items 1 and 2.
Yep. Motion and second. Yeah, do we have a second?
Second.
Yeah, Ms. Alonzo.
I just want to clarify, 28 through 31. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move to agenda item number 13. Item number 13 is authorize a memorandum.
I've got 9.
Oh. No, Council Member Grayson had pulled that back. Put that back on consent.
You did.
Yes.
Okay. I misheard.
Okay.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 13 is authorize a memorandum of understanding with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, U.S. Department of the Treasury, to permit access to all private banking and financial information that is protected under the Bank Secrecy Act to assist in financial crime investigations. Councilmember Kleinman pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kleinman.
I guess my motion is that we decline or deny this item.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second just to hear the discussion and the reasons.
Okay. Just to hear it. All right. We've got a motion and a second. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you. I'd just like to read something to you
guys.
Would
you pull your mic a little bit closer?
I'm so sorry. I'd just like to read something to you guys. The right of the people to be secure in their personal in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. One sentence, 55 words, Constitution of the United States of America. Everything since this document was written, including the Constitution of the State of Texas and the Charter of the City of Dallas, is all supposed to tie back to this. I feel very strongly that this item is a violation of that. I am not in favor of having law enforcement authority searching through people's personal financial records. And I realize that there are law enforcement reasons for this. I met with the chief yesterday on it. Chief Brown was very good about answering some of my questions with regards to things like the retention period of this information. And he said to me, FinCEN, which is the federal organization that the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, has no retention period on the information that they search through. He also did tell me that there are some securities put in place with regards to, for us to access the information, it would either be through a warrant or a subpoena, but also what is called, you know, probable cause, which just means that if a detective suspects there is a problem, they can start searching through this. He did note that a case number is assigned to every search so that it would prevent, you know, random surfing for information. But I think this kind of intrusion into people's personal financial information is really a violation of their rights to privacy from the government. So I will not be voting in favor of this item. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief, could I ask you a couple questions? This, the MOU, what does it require the city to do?
The MOU requires council approval before being enacted. And it's the reason for the MOU is that we enter into an agreement with the U.S. Treasury in order to access information regarding criminal conspiracy enterprises.
Yeah, what does it require us to do? Approve. We have an MOU. The feds say we want this information. What do they give us? What do we have to give them?
No, this information has already been collected by the U.S. Treasury. It's required by the U.S. government for banks to collect this information. With this MOU, we want our detectives to be able to access this information, and it requires council approval.
Okay. I
think it's important for everybody to understand this, and I don't think you answered Mr. Kingston's question.
Okay.
What are we required to do now, and after we assign the MOU, how will we act differently? Is that what you're asking?
Not exactly, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the attempt to clarify. Okay. We're wanting information the feds have for our purposes.
Yes.
Is there anything in the MOU that binds us to different policies than we already have in place?
No, absolutely not.
Really? Because usually when you deal with the feds, they've got a lot of rules.
Right. One point to this. This is something that we're currently involved in through a federal task force. So this information is currently being accessed by local law enforcement through a federal task force. We are expanding the use of this information to different types of cases that don't currently come under this type of scrutiny. For example, major cases that the federal government involving drug cartels. We're currently utilizing this information. If you're in a neighborhood in one of the districts that many of you have high-level drug cases that may not rise to the level where it's a drug cartel, this information can be used to take down these organizations. Multiple drug houses, open-air drug sales, we can access this information. If you think about how to disrupt a drug organization and think about the Al Capone rule, where he didn't get taken to jail for racketeering, he got taken to jail for not filing his IRS taxes. That's the use of this information. And it's required currently to be taken by the federal government through the Bank Secrecy Act. We're asking for your approval for our detectives to expand this use for mid-level and street-level investigations that affect all of your districts. This is a tool that will help us take down major drug organizations in our city to make our neighborhood safer. This is important information.
So what's the point of the MOU? Wouldn't the federal government just like to give us this information?
Right, they would, but you have to have approval by our rules for to enter into an MOU. So right now, the approval that we use now is the federal government's MOU with the U.S. Treasury, and so we piggyback their use at a price. We share the proceeds from seized monies and ill-gotten gains with the feds now, to the tune of 75% goes to them. We get 25%. And all of our drug crimes don't rise to the level for this access. And so the federal government has a capacity, and so they take the highest drug cartel related, whereas what happens in our neighborhoods may be lower level street crimes that I think this information, we feel very strongly about this, could very easily disrupt, if not take down, many of these drug organizations that are currently acting with impunity in our neighborhoods.
So now I'm back to the original question. We're being required to do something. What is it?
And maybe I need the city attorney's help on this. Entering into any type of MOU with any other agency requires council approval. So we couldn't enter into an MOU without your approval. And so that's why this step is part of a process step.
I mean, Mr. Kleinman's point is, he thinks the information that the feds have gathered has been gathered in violation of the Constitution. He could well be right about that. I have no idea. If a government agency has information, with a few exceptions, it's pretty much public. So what's the point of the MOU if they have legal information that they could give us to improve our crime-fighting ability, as you're advocating? What's being required of us? Why wouldn't they just fork that over?
Yeah. And I think where your question is going to is what requirements are imposed on us in order to share this information. And the MOU includes two attachments. One.
Would you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry. I'm Don Knight, Senior Assistant City Attorney. I've, among other things, advised the police department and reviewed this MOU. The MOU has two attachments, one that covers the security requirements. This is not publicly available information, and it requires the police department to exercise certain precautions to make sure that this information is not released except in accordance with the rules that the federal government sets up. It also includes an attachment that dictates the specific rules on how this information can be re-disseminated. And basically, it's to be used in court cases and for law enforcement investigations. The MOU is very restrictive on what this information can be used for. There's various information that goes into this database, but just for shorthand purposes, the documents that are required to be filed when large sums of cash are transferred, say $10,000 or more, that's the type of information that goes into this database.
Let's say Mr. Kleinman's right, and this information is obtained illegally. What indemnification is the federal government offering us against potential liability for the use of illegally obtained information in our own crime-fighting activities?
Well, they're not going to indemnify us, and I have no reason to believe this is obtained illegally.
Look, don't duck this. If this is illegal information and we use it and we get sued, who's paying the bill?
The Bank Secrecy Act is a federal statute that has been in place for several years. It's a method of gathering information from the banks. Those banks have, to the extent that those banks wanted to resist that information being passed on to the Treasury, they could have. There's a presumption that the statute at this point is constitutional. It has not been challenged successfully.
May I add one more thing?
Please do.
We are currently seizing funds from criminals. This is how our confiscated fund balance is established. And there are seizure hearings where the criminal may challenge us on the seizure, and the judge rules in our favor, or they rule in the criminal's favor. So we're currently using this statute through a sharing of the proceeds with the federal government, because we're using their access to the information. We're asking you to allow us to expand this use so that, first of all, we can cripple these organizations, take them down, make our neighborhood safer. But secondly, so that when we do seize funds, that the city is now is not sharing, but we're also using that in our confiscated fund balance to further fight crime. So it's a lot of uses for this. It's an expanded use, but we are currently seizing ill-gotten gains from criminals in our confiscated fund balance. This is currently being done. Mm-hmm. We're just sharing the proceeds with the federal government because we're using their access, and we're asking for you. We had this type of unit back in the 1990s. It's a money laundering unit, and we're just re-implementing this unit and asking that our detectives now access information for mid-level and lower-level crimes that don't currently come under this type of scrutiny. We don't look at the financials. When you all talk about a drug house that's been in your district for 30 years, it's because we're not able to do the major investigation because there is a litmus test that the federal government uses, and it's usually a large, very complex organization where some of these drug houses and some of these open-air drug cell locations, the car washes, we're not able to look at any of the financials under this type of scrutiny to determine whether or not this drug location has multiple tentacles and is a conspiracy enterprise. And people go into this business for the money. And you can really take these organizations down by crippling their ability to make money and hide money and transfer money across various organizations in the city.
Chief, let me address a couple of things. One is, I wouldn't want anybody to get the idea that I don't think that our police department respects civil liberties. You and I have had many discussions about this. I know that you're committed to that, and I appreciate it.
Yes.
But all of us here on council swore an oath to defend that Constitution. I've had to swear that oath I don't know how many times at this point. One of these days people are going to believe me. And the issue is not taking down drug houses. The issue is not public safety. We do not balance the interests of law enforcement against the interests of people to be secure in their property. That is not a balancing act. It's an absolute. And I appreciate your advocacy for why you need this, but it's irrelevant. It's utterly irrelevant. I don't care if you could take down every drug dealer in this city. If you violate my rights to do so, it's illegal. And I don't think that's what you're advocating. This is not an attack on you, but I and Mr. Kadane, I apologize. I didn't see this when it came to your committee, but I do not have sufficient information to feel comfortable about this. I agree with Mr. Kleinman's concern about civil liberties with regard to the way the information was obtained. Our federal government is not trustworthy on these issues. It simply isn't. And it's unfortunate. I'm mystified that there's not more outrage about privacy. But we can only do so much here, and what we can do here is not enter into this MOU and not work with the federal government when they can't assure us that the information that they're giving us was legally obtained.
And let me add that the information access requires a subpoena, requires the judge to sign a subpoena. And the data being retrieved by the federal government has congressional oversight.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gates.
I would like to clarify a couple things you mentioned. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. You're saying the federal government has been doing this for a long time.
Since 1990. This act was implemented in 1990.
And has it ever been determined that civil rights have been?
No. Not that I'm aware of, no.
And it's held up to the Constitution?
Yes.
So, and we've been paying the federal government for this, or
we're
actually
the proceeds from our investigations because we don't have this access. We have to access through the federal government. It's at a sharing of any kind of seized or confiscated funds that we might get from ill-gotten gains from criminals.
And the only thing different, we're talking about expanding.
Yes.
But do we have any, legally, do you feel like this would, we would be violating anybody's civil rights?
No, I do not, and I would not proceed if I thought so. It requires a subpoena, which means our officers have to get a judge to sign a subpoena in order to access this information, or it requires us to have probable cause, which is established in the Fourth Amendment, our search and seizure. So we have to be consistent with the Constitution, and we have to have a judge sign it. And even when we get to the point where we might seize funds from a criminal, the criminal can ask for a hearing so that a judge would agree that our seizure was appropriate and consistent with the Constitution.
Mr.
So as the chief... As the chief outlined, all of the same procedural protections of constitutional rights are in place as to this information as to any other information. Fourth Amendment, information gathered inappropriately, there's that protection. Due process for the actual seizure of any proceeds, subpoenas and warrant protection. And let me reemphasize, this is not our DPD going out and gathering new information that might need to be tested again for constitutional purposes. This is data that's already been collected, that's been being collected for almost 25 years, that is accessed currently by law enforcement all over the country. This is DPD requesting the ability to use a tool that has been in place for many law enforcement purposes for many, many years. DPD is seeking permission to access that tool for its crime fighting.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought up other organizations. So every major department in the country uses this information. Ours was started back in the 90s and it went away through budget cuts, and we're bringing it back, hoping that we can, again, fight crime better, smarter, have a bigger effect on drug crime in Dallas. And so every major city has this access. This is not something new that we're recreating. We're trying to really be better about what we're doing by using something that is being used across the country anyway.
And you would also add it's more efficient. I mean, you're not being able to share a portion of the money.
That's
at
exactly
this point.
Right.
So
we have so many needs at the general fund that we're not wanting to increase our budget, confiscated funds, seizures, through the appropriate subpoena, legal, constitutional process, could be very effective at first taking down these organizations because they sell drugs for money. That's why they're in that business. But it could also be very effective and efficient for our officers in order to be able to access information, seize cases that they work, and confiscate funds from these criminal enterprises.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, guys, let's just answer her questions, okay, because we'll go on forever. Any other questions? Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Mayor. Chief, I have a couple questions on this particular item. The due process of the privacy, who handles the due process of the privacy on these particular,
right,
quote-unquote, individuals?
The U.S. Treasury Department is a federal department, and the Banking Secrecy Act is the authority to gather this information. There's a congressional committee that oversees this collection of this data. This has been established since 1990.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, now, how far can this due process go? Is it just for drug houses, or is it for anybody?
It's the current ask that we have of you is to agree for this memorandum of understanding for our narcotics division to investigate drug crimes.
Okay, so what we, if approved today, is more so to look at drug crimes within our city.
Specifically drug crimes, yes.
And are these small drug crimes, or is it a cap to it? Does it start at 50,000?
This will uncap the limits. Currently, major drug investigations have this access already through the federal government.
Okay.
We're asking for you to give this approval so that we can proceed with low-level crimes, mid-level crimes, and things that fall through the cracks that don't get investigated in this manner by the federal government.
Now, is this because once, and I want to make sure I understand this. So this is for a particular use of crime?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not for all type of crime?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, so that's number one. Then number two is through the due process, is this their savings account? This can be any account that they have, an individual. Do they get a due process, or is it just you do?
They have due process through our having to get a warrant, having to get a subpoena. You have to get a judge to sign a warrant. You got to get a judge to give you a subpoena.
Okay.
They can ask for a hearing in front of a judge.
Okay.
When they go to trial to be convicted, they then have protections. They can have a lawyer. They can, you know, seek relief through that.
Understand. And then the last thing, you talked about the budget cut. This was cut. When was this cut from the budget? Do you remember?
Mid-90s, and we pretty much dissolved the money laundering unit in DPD.
Oh, okay. So this has been a couple of years.
It's been over 20 years, yes.
What's the cost of this item?
We got a grant. There's no cost to this item.
Okay.
But we got a grant to re-implement this money laundering unit.
Okay. And so the only thing you're asking of us today is just to approve the MOU.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Yes, sir. Here I come. Oh, 1 second. thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Chief. Chief, let me just ask you just a couple things. One, had we implemented this 10 years ago in 2000, would we be fewer in drug houses and drug dealing had we acquired what we're asking for today?
I believe much fewer. I think we'd have a significant impact on the drug crimes in Dallas if we had implemented this 10 years ago.
So all of those little crack houses and on the street corners and little fake tobacco shops, some
right.
that were fronting as
right.
as businesses.
Right.
This is a tool that had been in our box. We could have implemented, and we still could have implemented it, you know, federally, but we could have retained the confiscated dollars and not had to share them.
Yes.
And is this something that you believe as our chief that we need to have and implement here in the city?
Yes. In drug crimes, you follow the money.
All
and
right.
When you follow the money, you take down the criminal activity.
And this is a tool that will help us deter and better protect the citizens and the neighborhoods if we get rid of these type of operations.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Chief, I'm inclined to support your proposition, but having said that, I am sensitive to the remarks and feelings of both Mr. Kleinman and Mr. Kingston.
And so are we.
Particularly when it involves, you know, civil liberties, because I take that very seriously. It, Council, it seems that there's a lot of interest in this item. Seems to be the fact that while it did go through a committee, perhaps the full council might get a more full briefing so we can make sure that we get this thing right. I'm not sure I'm ready to vote because I see clearly two different sides here, so I would at this time move that we table this item until we get an opportunity for a more full briefing on the matter, a little bit more evidence.
Okay, we had a motion and a second to postpone, to take this back to Public Safety Committee for a briefing. Is that what you full council?
I'd like a full council briefing on this.
Briefing. Okay. Thank you. We've got that. That's a replacement motion, so we'll continue our discussion. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Allen?
You know, I was in the banking business for 35 years, and auditor. I was auditor, ran the operations, ran the bank, and this is really 1 + 1 = 2 when it comes to protection of this information. Anyone that thinks that this chief or any policeman is going to be able to go into a bank and get information on an individual without a subpoena that's been properly authorized is naive. You have not done your homework. You have not studied this subject. To think that our citizens are being put at some kind of risk, all you have to do is go back and look at the Financial Privacy Act. Just start looking and doing that. Then we would not be having this conversation. We would already understand that, if anything, this MOA is really nothing more than transparency.
Right.
It's a transparency effort to put this forward so that we're not hiding anything.
Right.
So, we can bring it to full council because it's probably a good idea that we turn this back into an understanding of why this is so important for you to gain this additional access to information that's already out there,
right.
That's already out there, that's been sought after and subpoenas, all of the things, because banks do not release information. We can be sued, and we're very sensitive to that. The banks will be sued if they give one piece of information, even to other family members that are not on that account. It's very, very, very hard to get information. But I think the council needs to understand that. I think the council needs to understand the Financial Privacy Act. I think they need to understand better so that they won't come back and make it look like the boogeyman's trying to get every little citizen that's out there. So I would be supportive, even though I'm ready to vote yes at this moment in time, because I understand what you're trying to do. Appreciate you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you, Chief, for coming up with this. But you do have access right now to those accounts through the
yes.
feds. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And in here, this really does take away public privacy. And I thank Mr. Callahan for that motion. It's a good motion. We do need to restudy this, I think. In here, you've got all private banking accounts. Maybe if we look at this and go over it, that it's only criminal investigations and criminal arrests that you have access to, not everybody's. But this is something we did go over, and I'm sure we missed some of it. But I do appreciate Mr. Kleinman bringing that up, and I think it's a good thing that we do restudy it. So I will be backing that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. And you know, I'm going to always sometimes go along with program sometimes. But, you know, you say you want to bring it before the full council, and the full council is here. And you know, we're here now, and the chief is asking for something to be implemented today, and not necessarily that we are ready. I mean, what more can be added? How much more study do we need? When will we reconvene? The council is here. Now, I would say, you know, we're here to make action. It has been on the agendas, and we're here. Now, I don't have to leave today at 3. Dallas City Council used to meet till 11 o'clock at night. That's part of the deal. We're here to take care of the business, and we're here to move forward. And we're going to get these drugs off the street. This is what our chief of police has recommended. We just gave accolades to the chief of how great the NCAA tournament went, the Final Four here, and all of this. And he said, hey, listen, let's come on. I'm not for holding you up. I'm for you doing your job. And it's been proposed. It's been before the committee. And the full council is here. Now, when are we going to bring it back before the full council? April, June? No. How long are we going to put the chief off? Yeah. Now, either we're going to stand up and make some decisions and be prepared to do what we're elected to do. How much more study do we have to do on this? How much more information, chief, are we expecting for the chief to come back and give us? We are the city council. We are here today. We are in session, and we can make decisions and should. Now, I'm for careful studying and all of that, but if indeed this thing is already going and we're asking for expansion and we have a problem in this city as it relates to drugs and crime, and we're talking about we're bringing crime down, then heck, let's bring it on down and let's get serious. I'm not on the side of the drug dealers. I want to do everything that we can do immediately to eradicate the drugs, to put these people and to make it as tough for them as possible. And then, because any decision that we make, we can always undo the decision as we continue to study. So now I'm just putting my position out there, and whoever like it, fine. Whoever don't, fine. I'm for moving forward and bringing it back to the committee, bringing it back to the council. Hell, the council's here. We're the council. Let's talk about it. Go back and bring it back to later on this afternoon. Chief, go get some more information. Let's ask each other what are the concerns. Maybe he can go get the answers today, and we can take this off our plate. We got more stuff to deal with.
Are you done? Thank you. No, I just want to be clear if I didn't want to catch up. Ms. Hill, Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief, I don't need any more study. I understand that to disrupt the drug activity that is predominant in the part of the city that I represent, we need to follow the money. That's how you disrupt the drug dealers. I don't have major cartels, but I do have in almost every block at least two or three drug houses. If you can disrupt their financial activity, you can take them down. That is what I want to have happen. It is not correct to say that with any constitutional right, there is not a balancing act. There is. Every Supreme Court case, everyone that examines a constitutional right balances the constitutional right against the public's interest in public health and safety. My neighborhood, my part of the city, has an interest in safety and getting rid of the dope houses, and I strongly suspect that there is not a court in this country that would protect the criminal against my citizens. I don't need any additional study. I understand that the Bank Secrecy Act is already passed, that it already has congressional oversight, that all of the constitutional due process protections are already in place, that what you are asking us is for this governmental body to say, yes, we want you to be able to use this information that is already available and already accessed at a level below what the federal government does, and not to be giving the confiscated money to the federal government. I was here back when we had the money laundering unit. I remember when we could keep more of the money. Chief, thank you for bringing this to us. I am not going to vote for Mr. Callahan's motion, no matter how that goes down. I'm not voting for that because I get it. And if you can take the dope houses down in my neighborhood yesterday, please take them down. Thank you for your work. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Mr. Atkins hasn't spoken. I'll let him speak, and then we'll get to the other two. Thank you.
You know, Chief, I think it's great to bring this to the full council. You know, most everybody around this horseshoe have a bank account, I presume. And if your wife or your dad or your mom or whatever is not on that sound account, then I get information. So we do understand the Privacy Act and how do you asset financial. And Jerry, I agree with you, Jerry. You know, you've been a bank a long time, and I probably got maybe 10 different bank accounts throughout the city of Dallas. And my wife on some accounts, some accounts she's not on, but she cannot asset those accounts. But the key that I look at also, Ms. Hill, Ms. Caraway, I look at the payday loan, the cash checking place around here. And we talk about drug, you know, because I always say follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. And many, many times I think people go to these payday check cash in place, get the money, go buy drugs. And they get back in debt, Jerry. And that's something that we need to take down. But in this state of the nation and what we're trying to get. We are trying to be a safe city. And we are trying to be a safe city. We're also trying to make sure our constitutional right is held. If this is a tool we can help our city and make sure our city is safe, this is a tool we need to be looking at. I don't need another briefing because we just had a briefing. We just had a big debate. I think we had a briefing right here. We're debating right now. I think Mr. Kleiman brought up a great situation, a great question. Why are you doing this? This is the Constitution. Are we doing something wrong? And your attorneys came up and said, we are not doing something wrong. Mr. Kingston said, can we be sued? And Jerry said, the bank going to be very, very careful what information you get. They're going to go to the judge. And all those legal stuff we've been talking about, we're debating right now. So what is the issue? If you do go back to the full briefing, what are we going to brief? So I would be supporting this issue move forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson hasn't spoken, so I'll let her speak.
Thank you, Mayor. I can't say it any better than Ms. Hill did, but we were briefed on this in Public Safety Committee. The chief explained at the time why this was an important tool, why he wanted us to move forward with this. We unanimously supported him in that at Public Safety. I don't need any more information. And we've had a thorough discussion of this just now. I don't know, as Mr. Atkins said, what else we could possibly hear in a full council briefing that we haven't discussed right now. Chief, is there anything else you can add to the discussion?
It's been a pretty thorough discussion.
That's what I think, and I will not be supporting a motion to delay. I'm fully ready to move forward with this morning. We keep asking our police to use every tool they possibly can find. This is one of them. Chief says it's important. I'm going to support it.
Thank you. Now I'll go back to Ms. Gate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That was my question. Is there any more information you think you would share if we had a briefing?
No, not at all.
Warren, is there any more information you think we need to hear?
No, ma'am.
No. So we would hear.
About a word.
Would you, if we had a briefing, it would be approved, it would be at a later date. That would be not good. Is there a ramification for delaying the decision?
Your timely approval would be appreciated. We're in a daily fight against crime. Drug dealers don't take a day off. Any support we can get today would greatly improve the safety of our neighborhoods.
Well, thank you. I've been appreciative for all your answers. My questions have been answered. I think we challenge you daily to fight crime, and we ask you to fight it with as low as we can spend, right?
Yes.
At a
yes.
low cost. And I think we've challenged you to find those tools to be able to fight crime efficiently, and I applaud you for doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, Mayor, I just want to point out that I did preface my remarks by stipulating that I was inclined to approve the measure, but I was sensing that the council, because of some of the commentary, they were not ready to vote, and they felt like they needed additional briefing, additional information, so that was the reason that I did that. But I'm not going to stand in the way for an up or down vote, so I'll withdraw my motion. However, I would like to offer a new one and say that if there are not enough votes for an up or down, then we can simply send that measure back to the full council for a briefing, and that way we can get our questions answered. So that would be what I would do at this time.
Thank you. Let's be very clear about
withdrawing
the motion, so that's off the table.
Right.
Your next motion is what?
I'm going to restate that if we do not have enough votes to put the measure into or to approve the measure, then that we will come back and have a full briefing of the council so we can drill down.
We can't do it that way. Okay. I understand what you're trying to do, but we have to take that motion later.
Okay.
Okay.
I can accept that.
All right. I understand what you're trying to do.
I'll go ahead and withdraw my motion at this time so we can have an up or down vote because I sense council's ready to vote.
Thank you. And we have now have a motion to deny this. We have a motion to deny, and we've got a second to deny it. So we'll have further discussion on that. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you very much, colleagues, and I appreciate this conversation. I think these are the kinds of conversations we need to be having. These are the kind of policies we need to be looking at. While I these decisions cover a spectrum of opinions as to what is allowable and what is not, what is justifiable and what is not. I mean, I'm hearing the majority of our council members, and I agree that it is incredibly important that we give our chief every tool he has. And I think this has been a healthy discussion about what's allowable and what's not. I sit on a little bit of the side of the fence that I'm not in favor of this, but I really appreciate the candor and the good conversation we had about it, because I think these are important policy issues that we do need to discuss openly. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
I move approval.
No, okay, you and excuse me, thank you. We have a substitute motion for approval, and then we have a second. Okay, we'll now take action on that. Mr. Allen.
Final comment, where I am in favor, obviously, just moving this forward. And the only reason I would want to bring it back to full council is literally, it's such a simple concept. The law is the law. You can only access what you can access. You have to give notice. And if anyone would just look at what the law states that the Treasury or the federal government can do, subpoena powers to come in, what they can do, what the law states that they have to notify the customers, the fact that there's no exposure. If the banks do what they follow the subpoenas, there's no liability. And all you do is just go down, boom, 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 boom. We wouldn't even be having this discussion. But what happens is now it clouds it to the degree that the city is after that private information. You know, we're out there looking for these little small guys. And in reality, that's not the truth. But it clouds it and it puts that out. So that's what's disappointing to me, is that this is now a clouded discussion, and it's so simple if you just look at the law, and that's the only reason I would want to have a full discussion on it, just so you can lay it out and say, look, here it is. How simple is this? Read it. Put it in black and white. It says you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. You have to do this, this, and this. Judge Hill is exactly right. She understands the law. She understands the Constitution. So, but I will be in favor of moving this forward as we speak.
Okay, Mr. Kadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, too, Chief, for what you have brought to us. My concern was the Privacy Act, and that we do make sure that we do not infringe on those that don't need to be infringed upon. And that's why I wanted to brief it again to make sure everybody knew what we had. But it sounds like that's been done.
Yes, sir.
So I, too, will back that motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will take a record vote. We've got a motion to approve item number 13. We'll be voting yes or no on that.
Ten have voted. I show 10 have voted.
Not working.
Mr. Mayor, we have 10 that have voted. We could ask the remaining council members.
Hold on. Who has tried to vote and couldn't vote? You got two, those four. Okay?
That's 14.
That's only 14 of us. Mm-hmm. I voted. All right, let's do this again. Who has attempted to vote, but it didn't work? One, two, three, four. Somebody has. You've got to have yellow around it.
Did you want me to restart?
No, let's just restart. Thank you.
One moment, please. Please go ahead and continue.
Okay, vote now, right?
Yes, now. 14 have voted. All have voted on the motion.
Thank you.
Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Davis, Caraway, Gates, Allen, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. Voting against, Council Members Kleinman and Kingston. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Thank you. Agenda item number 14 is authorize a professional services contract with GNS Consulting Engineers, LLC, for consulting, evaluation, and design services for the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system improvements for the Kalita Humphreys Theater located at 3636 Turtle Creek Boulevard. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Second. Do we have any discussion?
I have a few comments.
Please, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason I pulled this is that the Kalita is in bad shape, needs significant money expended to restore it and change the some of the interior facilities so that it can be more useful to our arts groups. There is a group of people that are arts advocates that is currently out raising money for this project. So those of you who have followed our work in the Arts, Culture, and Libraries Committee know that we're desperately underfunded. We can't take care of the stuff we already own. New projects are basically off the table for the foreseeable future. And that has not deterred the arts community. They will go try to help us to the extent they can. It's a shame they have to, but that's the reality of our budget right now. I'm moving to approve this because in discussions with staff, Public Works, Rick Galsron, has done a good job of making sure that whatever happens in the future to the Kalita in terms of changes to the building and restoration, these funds will not be wasted. This HVAC work is going to be compatible with whatever we do in the future, and I appreciate that work. Public Works will also be interfacing with the folks raising money to make sure that we're all on the same page and pulling together. I also anticipate that there's going to be private money that will go into Dean Park, which surrounds the Kalita. So we could see some really positive improvement over there soon. I'm very hopeful about that. I'd love to see that beautiful building restored and used to its maximum potential. That's one of two Frank Lloyd Wright designed theaters in the world, and we're really lucky to have it in Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 20 is authorize a four-year lease extension with Pan Coastal Limited Partnership for a total of approximately 33,967 square feet of office space located at 2121 Main Street for the capital improvement staff of the Water Utilities Department for the period April 24, 2014 through April 23, 2018. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you. Intended motion, Mr. Kingston.
I'll move approval, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Mr. Kingston?
I have a few comments. Jody, would you mind, the reason I'm supporting this is because Jody explained to me what the reasoning is for renting space rather than using a city facility that we own. Would you mind explaining that to the council, Jody?
Yes, sir. As we talked earlier, there's really no room in the inn. We've been in this building basically since 1996. I double-checked that. And so we need the space for the staff. We have 135 people located at that, and there's no other facility space in the city for that.
And we're at $14 a foot on this lease?
$14.50, I think, is what I remember.
Okay. As much as I appreciate people renting space in District 14, I'm very happy about that. 1996 is a long time ago. We need to evaluate whether we need permanent space. You and Bonnie Meter are very well equipped to do that, and you've told me that you are going to undertake that analysis. So please do that. $1.9 million is a very reasonable price to pay for this space. The threshold question is whether we ought to own our own building.
Right.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 23 is a resolution authorizing the acknowledgement of termination and release of the ground lease and the related city sublease rights to Ritchie Dallas Investments, LLC, which were granted for the benefit of the public in providing public pedestrian access to complete the missing link of the pedestrian way system under Ackard Street, adjacent to Block 60 and 75 and the west half of Block 75. And in exchange, Richie Dallas Investments, LLC, shall dedicate to the city a perpetual access easement to provide the public continued access to adjacent portions of the pedestrian way via a stairwell located near the intersection of Ackard Street and Pacific Avenue. Councilmember Grayson, pull the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Grayson.
Before I make a motion, I just had wanted to ask Mr. Evans some questions and say that I pulled this because it relates to part of our underground system in downtown and access to that underground system. And this item would renew a certain amount of access to a certain portion of our underground tunnel system. Mr. Evans, is it true that some of our underground system is kind of dead already? Portions of the tunnels have been closed off. Nobody uses them anymore.
Yeah, the city and downtown Inc. has been worried years about what to do about the tunnel system. And it appears the tunnel system is taking care of itself. Slowly but surely, the life is moving up to the street level, and a lot of the retailers underground are going away. Now, part of that's because a lot of the buildings on above ground have been discontinued in their office uses, and they're being reclaimed or repurposed for residential and hotels and that sort of thing. And the new buildings don't seem to have a lot of appreciation for the old tunnel system and have been using, in fact, in many respects, the underground for different uses, whether it be parking or whatever it is.
Storage
even, yeah.
This agreement would create an access point where the current access point is going to go away for redevelopment. Now, the city has required that this developer create this new access point, but it's a very, very short portion of the tunnel that goes underneath Pacific Avenue. And the tunnel can be accessed from Thanksgiving Tower across the street. So as I looked at this, I thought perhaps what we may want to do, Mr. Evans is concerned that there still be some access by our police and fire in case anybody is in this portion of the tunnel and can't get out for whatever reason, can't get back to the Thanksgiving Tower building. And I think that is a good idea. I think we should do that. But I'm wondering if we as a council want to create a new public access point to this small portion of the tunnel or whether we would like to restrict it simply to police and fire for public safety for those who still might be in the tunnel rather than creating a new in perpetuity public access point. And that's why I brought it up. So at some point, I think the council is going to have to make a decision about these underground tunnels and whether we want to continue to encourage their use, and this is sort of an encouragement, or whether we would like to, you know, start to limit some of the access, especially in parts of downtown where there isn't an office use above it, where they're counting on the income from that retail. So my motion would be to approve this with an amendment that the access point only be for police and fire for public safety.
Thank you. We have a second to that. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And I agree quite a bit with Councilmember Grayson's statements about the tunnels. The sooner our tunnels go away and the better. The experiment hasn't worked. I think it was Vincent DuPont that put them in here in the city of Dallas. The semi-public access only through buildings to the tunnels has been a disaster, splitting our pedestrian level for years till now. Finally, we're starting to revive downtown. We've had businesses in the underground tunnels that only can survive from 7 a.m. They open up, and then they close right after lunch. And then the businesses on the surface for years were trying to struggle just making the evening hours when businesses need all the hours. I believe we should slowly let our tunnels, I prefer them to go away quicker rather than later and move everything up to the street level. the experiment was an absolute disaster for downtown Dallas, the tunnels, and particularly the semi-public and controlled access to the tunnels really didn't help downtown. So I'll be supporting this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Evans, what committee would hear this if it had been briefed?
The Economic Development Committee. The tower itself, of course, did go to Economic Development. But if you're talking about the tunnel system in general, I think it could go either Quality of Life or Economic Development.
Sub-motion, Mr. Mayor, or amendment. With Mr. Atkins' approval, I'd like to send this to Economic Development for a briefing. I think that I ought to have a little input. So if we have a briefing, I think this is probably an easier issue than we're thinking about. I'm very well aware of the argument that the tunnels killed downtown. I think it's rather overblown. A lot of things killed downtown, and the tunnels won't really impede its resurgence. But we do need a clear policy on this, which means we probably ought to send it through the committee structure.
That a motion?
That's a motion. Sorry, it's long-winded. Thank you, Sheffy.
Mr. Chair, if I could I comment on that?
Yes, you can.
From a staff point of view, I think it is a good idea for it to have a clearer policy relating to the tunnels. It's probably long overdue. This particular tower, its ground lease must be terminated with us, though, you know, within the next 3 weeks, or they can't close to do their renovation. So that part has to be taken care of.
May I ask you another question?
Please, Mr. Mayor? Please,
thank
Mr.
you so
Houston.
Much. So, are you saying we need to vote today, or we're screwed up?
Yes, sir. You need to vote. Today.
Then I'm going to withdraw the amendment, Mr. Mayor, and offer a second amendment, which is to approve.
Well, we've got it. We've already got that motion.
No.
You had a. Excuse me, guys. Please restate your motion. Thank you. Please, with your.
I made a motion to approve this item with an amendment that the access be limited to public safety, police, and fire.
And is that you want to amend off of that?
Yes, and my motion is to approve as presented in the agenda.
I'll second his motion.
Okay. All right. So we now have a motion to approve as stated in the agenda. Thank you. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, if I may, I want to have John Crawford weigh in. May I do that?
That's a good idea.
You can ask him whatever you would like.
Mr. Crawford, may I have your input on this, please?
Pardon?
May I have your input on
yes, ma'am.
This, please?
Thank you, Judge. I'm John Crawford, president of Downtown Dallas, Inc. The tunnels are a long and sordid story, to your point. Basically, we're dealing with one issue today. I appreciate the philosophy, I think, of the council in terms of not expanding the tunnels and, frankly, trying to do away with them as quickly as possible. It's a very complicated issue because of the various ownership that sits on top of the tunnel. But in terms of this particular item today, Mr. Kingston, it is important that you vote on that today, because we've got a closing coming up the end of April, and a delay would not allow the building to be closed. But I would welcome the opportunity for a briefing on the tunnels and the future of the tunnels in downtown Dallas. There's a lot of information. We've done a couple of things. One is, in part of our Downtown Dallas 360 plan, we looked at the tunnels. There's some verbiage in there that I won't go into, other than it's not supportive of continuing the use of the tunnels. The second thing is, we did a study about 3 years ago analyzing the status of the tunnels and what it would take to close them down. And we kind of came to the conclusion that there's not been any development down there in 20 years, other than a few replacement of fast food restaurants underneath three buildings. And fortunately, we're now beginning to develop ground level, street level activity, which is bringing people up rather than driving them down. And frankly, the tunnels are not much and near as much of an issue as they once were. So, but I would still welcome that opportunity to make the next step, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Crawford.
Thank you, Judge.
I appreciate you. On this particular item, that's all, Mr. Crawford. That's all I need from you. I'm going to make a comment, but I don't need you to do
thank
it.
Thank you.
On this particular item, I would not support the restrictive access, and that's on this particular item. My suggestion is what was embodied in what Mr. Crawford said. I would like to see us approve this item as written and then have a fuller briefing separately on the policy regarding the tunnels. That is not a motion. That is a suggestion. And let me say again, I've been in Dallas a minute. I do remember when the tunnels were in great use, and in August, when it's 100 degrees outside, the tunnels were really, really nice. But that is my suggestion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let me just tell you how I want to move forward here after we take action in this motion. I think downtown is something we all care about, and I think having a briefing to the whole body as a whole, I think, would be helpful. There's a lot of questions, and we all need to know those things. So whatever we take action here, we will set that up. I'll set that up with the city manager to have a briefing to this entire city council. With Mr. Allen.
I agree with moving agenda item 23 forward and having a briefing at a later date. The tunnels themselves, 25 years from now, people will be talking about what can we do with the tunnels and how cool they are, and that's the new wave of the future. So that'll be happening 25 years from now. As we have that briefing, I look forward to coming up kind of with some excitement too about what's really can we do with the tunnels, if anything. So look forward to having that briefing. Look forward to moving 23 forward.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And I was going to suggest, but Mayor, as our leader, you took charge, because I was going to suggest we bring it to quality of life. I further say and agree that we bring it to the full council. John, you and I just had this conversation, it seemed like the day before yesterday. We were talking about the tunnels, and I had some good information that came from that. I'm going to just give you a couple of quick suggestions. I got my promoter brain on. One, Ms. Grayson, I agree with you with the access for police and fire. We need to make sure that everything underground is always safe. So I do agree with you on that. We're going to move this thing forward. But those tunnels, John, you know, once we close them down, we can have Fright Night down there. All right? And we could rent some of those tunnels for receptions and things of that nature. So just keep our brains on as it relates to how we can rejuvenate. This has been something I've been in favor of bringing the people above ground so that we can create a lunchtime traffic, and maybe that may help us bring Macy's and other stores and downtown Dallas, because this is the biggest mall that we have. We just need to get the people, and if those businesses see people, then those businesses will take advantage of that opportunity. So I'm in favor of it. Just wanted to throw that out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am very appreciative of Judge Hill's and Mr. Crawford's comments. And, Mayor, I think it's very appropriate to brief the entire council. Downtown is a citywide asset, and I want all of your input on this issue. Ryan, I know that this stuff happens, and real estate moves at its own pace. The deal is never done until it's done. And Ricci is a very good partner for downtown Dallas. I'm very appreciative of their efforts to revitalize it. Let's be very careful about pressurizing this body with a real estate closing, because I promise you, if it's important, I do not care about a closing date. I blowing up closings sometimes is the best thing you can do. So, I know maybe you didn't have sufficient notice that this would be a topic of discussion, and I'm not critical of that, but just let's make sure that we're bringing stuff to this. If this body needs approval, then people who are trading real estate need to understand that the closing should be scheduled appropriately, because you're not guaranteed an outcome just because something's on the agenda. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Mr. Evans, does this restriction in any way hinder or harm this deal?
No, ma'am. The developers are okay either direction.
Mr. Crawford, could I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
John, you spoke to us in general terms about the tunnels. In this particular instance, would downtown Dallas oppose the fact that we would restrict the access only to police and fire for that small segment?
On the contrary, we're very supportive of the amendment.
Of that.
No, that we're.
That, I wanted to clarify that because
no,
you hadn't gotten exactly, you know. You hadn't said exactly how you felt about
no,
this
ma'am.
Particular
On the contrary,
amendment.
We're very supportive of closing off any reasonable access that we have control of to those tunnels.
Gosh, you and I are agreeing on
hey,
something
come on,
here.
We,
I know.
This is not the
this
first time.
Like, no, you're right. That's true. It's only video boards that we disagree on. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your response. I appreciate it. And I am also very supportive of having a full council briefing. I mean, I would suggest we not take it to a committee necessarily and just brief the full council because downtown is an asset for everyone, for the entire city. And colleagues, I hope you can support this because this is a start. Thank you.
But Ms. Grayson, we're going to be voting on Mr. Kingston's motion first, which does not have the amendment in it.
Right. I was hoping you'd support mine.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
But, okay, so thank you. Any other discussion? I mean, Mr. Kingston wants to stick with his.
Let's just clarify so we know what we're doing. We're voting to approve this as presented in the agenda today, and then the mayor has kindly offered to bring the larger topic of the tunnels to full council for briefing. I mean, agreement. I would like you to please support the approval as presented today so as to move this item forward and complete the real estate transaction. And I would also very much like to look forward to the full council briefing.
Okay, but just no. Hold on. No. So does the closing depend on it approving as is or with her amendment? Does the closing still take place?
Mr. Mayor can close either direction as long as the ground lease is.
So I just want to, you understand that you're saying the public can use this.
I'm absolutely understanding
good.
That.
Okay.
I
think we,
if you
want to
know anything about tunnels, just look at Toronto. Tunnels don't kill downtown.
Okay.
Anyway,
I got it.
Said enough. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I just want to make sure everybody knows. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. If we grant the full access today, including public access, then we have this briefing. Can we later take away the public access after we get this briefing in the plan?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
Okay. So we can move forward today with that proposal, get the full briefing, and then we can make the decisions on which ones to close and not to close. I'd also just say for the briefing, the few cities where tunnels do work, Toronto, Montreal, something to consider would be they have a lot of plazas and big public access to it, and they're almost like underground malls as opposed to our semi-private public access. This really restricts people going in the buildings and then going down. In those cities, you can actually walk straight from the street and big plazas right down into the tunnels. So on the full tunnel briefing, maybe brief on how some work, why ours failed, on all that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Scott. But let me I'm getting some clarification, Mayor, with Scott and Kingston and Ms. Grayson. With the motions that are on the floor, if your motion, Mr. Kingston, gives access to the public as read, and Ms. Grayson, you're saying that let's cut off the access and for police and fire. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, could I say something? With
please.
The assurance from Mr. Evans that we can go back and amend this agreement, you're absolutely sure about that, Mr. Evans? If after, well, wait a minute. He's finding out if he's absolutely sure. Okay.
Okay. All the attorneys are saying yes. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Then knowing that after the full briefing, when everybody has a chance to discuss this, we can amend this. If the council chooses to do so, I'll withdraw my motion and to amend.
Thank you,
Ms. Grace, because that was my clarification. I was going to ask that since it had been said that that could happen, then suggest we withdraw and then come back and go from there. So I'm very supportive of the motion as read. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Your next item is agenda item number 27, an ordinance abandoning a portion of Paris Street and alley to the City of Dallas, the abutting owner, containing approximately 1,554 square feet of land located near the intersection of R.L. Thornton Freeway and Pocahontas Street. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
One question to staff first, please, Mr. Mayor. We feel good about the appraisal.
Yes, we are confident in this appraisal.
$7 a square foot, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you say so, move approval, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, we now move to, we have agenda addendum items number 3, 4, and 5. I believe Councilmember Atkins wants to be recognized.
Did you want
to
read these?
Councilmember Atkins wants to be recognized. I think he wants to consider addendum 3, 4, and 5 under one motion.
To read again, all in one.
That's fine. Please.
Addendum items number 3 is authorize a professional services contract for engineering design services with Pacheco Koch Consulting Engineers, Inc. for improvements associated with the Elam Road and Simpkins remediation. Addendum item number 4 is authorize a construction contract with LD Kemp Excavating, Inc. for close landfill improvements associated with the Simpkins remediation located at 5950 Elam Road, 6300 Great Trinity Forest Way Boulevard, and 809 Pemberton Hill Road. Addendum item number 5 is authorized supplemental agreement number 1 to the engineering services contract with Terracon Consultants, Inc. for additional detailed environmental investigation, assessment, remedial designs, and coordination with Texas Commission on Environmental Quality associated with Simpkins remediation located at 5950 Elam Road and 6300 Great Trinity Forest Way Boulevard. Both Councilmember Kleinman and Councilmember Grayson pulled these items, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
I will say move all three of these items forward, and I have something after that. Okay, Mr. Mayor, you know, on these items, you know, especially the golf course, I mean, some of the council members here when we first started this great venture down the trail. You know, you look at a landfill and you wonder what you could do with a landfill. And we always talk about Southern Dallas. What can we do in Southern Dallas? And we talk about Grow South. You know, how can we open those gateways? How can you do great things in Southern Dallas? We took a tour yesterday, 45 people with Dallas Morning News, some of the media there. And people who rode on that bus saw Southern Dallas. They saw the Audubon. You know, they saw the golf course. They saw the horse park. They have a vision, and they see that the opportunity is there. And most of the people wonder why is that not a gateway like the toll road in 635 or 45, 75 and 635 or 35 and 635. Why we do not have those type of gateways? Why we do not have those type of hotel, a restaurant, a coffee shop, other houses, the gated community? Why we do not have that? Why is the city or why is the development is not coming there? You know, you look at AT&T headquarters. It's downtown Dallas. And I was on the council, and six of us, five of us was on the council when we went to San Antonio and brought the headquarters here in Dallas. Now we are bringing something to Pleasant Grove. We have a new council member in Pleasant Grove that's around that golf course and that horse park. And for some reason that we always try to kill something that is great in our neighborhood. And when I say kill something, we're talking about houses, infrastructure, the trails, ATT trail. We got trails coming there. We got all these great things coming in there. The bike trail, the Audubon Zone. And I don't know if people have been and looked at the gateway coming down to Trinity. We didn't change the name to make sure the name was right for this gateway. You know, if you don't live in that neighborhood and you think about that neighborhood and you remember for months and months all the tires were burning in that neighborhood for months and months, we could not put out the fire. If we had a piece of property we can't do anything with, just sitting there. And I just can't get it why we can't have a vision that we can have a great Highland Park, a Universal Park in Southern Dallas. And we got a great amenity. We got a golf course that we're trying to get from Brian Nelson to get it in Dallas. And we tried to open this golf course in 2016. We got Ben Crenshaw, someone who know how to design the golf course. In the top 25 golf courses in America, in the world, he's one of the best designers. We got the expert. Well, we might say, who should be in charge of this golf course? Should it be the park department? Should it be Trinity? Should it be the city of Dallas? You know, sometimes that when people is not at the table at the beginning of the deal, and then sometimes they won't get to the table at the end of the deal. This is part of the Trinity. And I see this part of the Trinity, not part of the park department. Because the Trinity step up to do this. This is the Trinity. I also see the part of what we would be failing if we do not move this forward today. You have a growing season. The golf course, the grass, everything got to grow in the right timing. The money is there. The money is there. The investor got their money in the bank where their mouth's at. We talk about all these other projects. They say they started something. There was no money, but the money's there now. So when you have the money there, so why we should not go forward? We got a timeline. We got a contractor. We got a design. We got all these things there. But guess what's going to happen? The community. Rick Callahan, Carolyn Davis, all that land over there, you will see gated community. You will see golf courses. You will see horse park. You know what? You will see hotels. You will see restaurants. You will see gated community. You will see all those things, all the quarter life things that they don't have. If they don't want to drive down 45 over Sleepy Hollow, used to be at Duane, the golf course, private golf course, right? It's gone. It's part of the Trinity River now. But there is no restaurant. No hotel, no coffee shop, nothing. But we got a golf course, and we got a horse park. You got people going to come. What are they going to do? They're going to drive away to play golf, drive away and play horse and move back? No, they ain't going to do it. They want to spend their money. And we will make that a magnet. We're going to make sure that place grow. And I don't know why my other colleagues pulled this item. I hope that they pull it to talk about a great thing of the golf course. I hope they pull it to think about a great thing the city of Dallas is doing. I hope they pull it to talk about how we are trying to build a tax base in Southern Dallas, which is 15% versus 85% in North Dallas. I hope they pull it because we have the same quality of life that we have in North versus South. I hope they pull it because we want to make sure this one city, not a tale of the two cities. I hope that's why they pull it. If they didn't, I'm shame on them. But I'm going to fight and fight because we deserve a gateway. And I took 45 people on the bus, and most of those people, diversity, did never have been where the horse park was at of the golf course. Never been in Pleasant Grove. Never. They've been down for 50 years, never been in Pleasant Grove. Didn't know what Audubon was at. Didn't know where the golf course was at. Didn't know where the horse park was at. Guess what? When they came down Pilgrim Hill, they saw bike lanes. They was amazed. Carolyn, they got bike lanes. When you put bike lanes on Pilgrim, bike lanes coming already ready. You got a trail. You see the trail, the AT&T trail. You see the trail coming from Joplin. You see a trail coming to Audubon. You see all those great amenities. We should be shouting. We should be dancing for joy. We got economic opportunity in Pleasant Grove. Economic opportunity in Pleasant Grove. And Grow South is what we did. We should be fighting and say, you know what? Those people deserve a better quality of life. Those people deserve the high end. But remember, $150,000 for the membership, that's not cheap. That's not cheap. You pay that kind of price, you won't have a nice gateway. You can afford a shop. You can afford to stay at a hotel for one or two nights. So with that, Mayor, you know, I done said my piece. Ms. Davis, I know that, you know, we bought that golf course and Rick Callahan over there close to it. So that's what I got to say, and I hope colleagues, y'all support me on this motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. These three items are related in the greatest measure to the development of the golf course. And there are a real mix of different but related items, infrastructure improvements, drainage improvements, and landfill remediation, all of which needs to be done to move that project forward. It's such a mixture that I had a bunch of questions about it, but I got all my questions answered, and I actually had told him it was okay to put it back on the agenda. But what I did ask staff to do was to please provide me with a running idea of where the different elements, how they're being funded, and how much money we've spent on each of these different elements. And I did that because we had promised, I thought, the voters when we considered this item at first that we would spend $3 million of public monies to make these improvements and that we had already committed to spend $9 million on the landfill and to remediate it. And we did that because the federal government had required us to do that. So our contribution was going to be $12 million. And because a number of my folks really weren't happy that the council had approved this item, they weren't necessarily in favor of the golf course. But we had told them we were going to limit the amount that we gave to this to $12 million, and I asked the staff to provide me with these running totals so that we can say to voters, this is what we told you we would do, and this is indeed what we did do. So that's the only reason I pulled it. And I'm going to be very much voting in favor of this.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jim, can you come forward? When I was on the Trinity Committee, Dave Newman then was the chair. I have my copy. Did we do a running total of everything that we talked about for the Trinity back then?
Yeah, he wanted financial reports, and so if you were on that committee at that time, there was a notebook.
I got my notebook.
And in the notebook, there was the schedule and the money, along with kind of PowerPoint presentation showing the key project elements, and then each new agenda item was put in that so that the council always had the updated time and money.
Right, and a part of that then was the golf course.
No, actually, the golf course came up after that.
But we talked about that land during that time, what we needed to do with
right, because we needed to do the remediation
absolutely,
of that land.
Absolutely. So that was a part of that. Let me ask you something else. Now, on this, when we finish or get started with this, it would take away the dumping that has been in that area for many, many years.
Yeah, we've not had dumping on the property while we've been the owner, not like what happened previously.
I'm talking about previously.
Right. And so that came to an end years ago, and we're going to get to clean up some of that illegal trash. But
okay. Now, the new reinvestment, what do you think the new reinvestment will be once we can finish everything in that area?
You know, I have no idea, but I can tell you it's a lot. And from what we have heard from adjacent property owners, they're already talking about, you know, land prices escalating. And we're working, we've convened a group from our planning department, our economic development department, and our housing department to kind of come up with a plan for that whole area, starting up at the DART station at Lake June, following Lake June over to Pemberton Hill Road, down Pemberton Hill Road to Great Trinity Forest Way, Great Trinity Forest Way from I-45 to the Audubon Center, which is almost to Jim Miller. So it's kind of a backwards L. And we've got a tour lined up to take city staff out there to begin working on that. I've talked to various ones of you all on council who have districts in that area. We want to work really with the four of you, because all of your districts kind of collide in that area from District 5, District 7, District 4, and District 8. And so we want to kind of work with you all and work with the staff that really does economic development and housing, because we need some housing programs in there too to stabilize some of those homes. And come up with the right kind of plan.
Okay. Now, I know we continue to talk about revenue. I do believe that this project will bring revenue to the city of Dallas, and that's why I am in support of it. Now, on agenda items, the items 3, 4, and 5, this is to do what today?
So it begins the expenditures of the $12 million that Ms. Grayson had talked about. So the first thing is we're going to actually do the remediation that we promised TCEQ years ago that we would do. So this is actual construction work, so we can actually say that the golf course construction is starting, because this is the first step. Then it's hiring the geotech firm to make sure that the contractor is doing it right, and the geotech firm will also help the third contract being done, which is we're hiring an engineering company to do the design of a lot of infrastructure in that area that will serve not only the golf course but the entire area. That infrastructure includes a brand new Elam Road from Pemberton Hill over to the first tee area. We'll put in a bicycle trail so that neighborhood can get to the AT&T trail. It includes an irrigation line that will serve not only the golf course but Audubon. It includes signal improvements, which should help folks going to Audubon and the folks across the street, and make the road a little bit safer for all the turning movements that are going to happen, and adding street lighting along Great Trinity Forest Way, which, as Mr. Caraway has said over the years, we need more lights out there.
Good deal. Very good. And I want to thank the voters in District 7 for coming out and voting on this, including myself. And so I think my tax dollars is working at its very, very best. And I'll make sure when I have my neighborhood meeting that the voters in District 7 who supported this, and they will be thoroughly informed that what we're doing here today is needed for the city of Dallas. Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. Just for clarification, my colleagues, I will be voting in favor of this. And ironically, I think I pulled more items this time than Mr. Kingston, so I'm very proud. Yeah, I had to have Ms. Grayson's help to do that. So the other thing I just want to mention maybe to you, Mr. Mayor, is sometimes these items are pulled for different reasons.
Yeah, of course.
And it may be good to let the people that pulled them make their comments as to why they're pulled.
Well, I think it's important to, from a process standpoint, to get a motion and a second as quickly as we can so we can discuss those things, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, as many of you know, I support the development of these projects in Southern Dallas. I mean, I was on the park board, the chair of planning and design, when we approved and went through the process of putting in the Trinity Audubon. And other facilities. I am also very excited for the support that we have from AT&T and its partners. I think it's very important to have these public-private partnerships so that partners bring money to the table that shows support for the projects and shows what we can do. The main reason I pulled this item was to address staff with my recurring concern that recreational projects should be done by our Parks and Recreation Department as opposed to being done by the Trinity Watershed Management Department. Jill and I have had a lot of discussions about this, but I really feel like, you know, in this particular case, this particular golf course, if you look at what our Parks Department has done, they have developed and are operating 6 award-winning golf courses in this city. They have tremendous experience in both the planning and implementation of putting these in, and I'm just quite honestly surprised that we would turn over all this money to a department that quite honestly has little or no history in developing recreational amenities. And so I just wanted to express that, and maybe as things move along, we can talk about whether the Trinity Watershed Management should be merely a coordination and oversight department as opposed to an actual project management department. And I don't know if you want to address that a little bit or not, but those are my views on that.
I'd prefer not getting off subject.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I think it's a bigger strategic question that is we should be discussing, but for this one, if you don't mind.
And then I do have some questions about this particular item with
Please.
The staff, and some of it you've already addressed with regards to what was on this property prior to us acquiring. You said just trash, illegal dump. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Right. So this is a huge tract of land that was under one ownership. It was Metropolitan Sand and Gravel. Mm-hmm. And they started off mining sand and gravel out of it. And when they finished that, they had big holes in the ground. And it was the early 1960s. And at that time, our way of dealing with trash was to put the trash in old sand and gravel pits along the Trinity. And so we leased the land and put our trash in there. When environmental regulations really came into play in the 1970s, we applied for the appropriate permits at that time. The two landfills were kind of reaching the end of their useful life, and so one of the landfills was closed in about 1980, and the other one closed in the later 80s. Illegal dumping occurred on the property on the site north of Great Trinity Forest Way on the what's called the Elam Road landfill. The property owner kind of allowed that to continue, and so we'll be...
Was that the same property owner?
It's the same property owner. It's the Metropolitan Sand and Gravel. I think they were out of St. Louis. And so... The operations really kind of all came to a halt in the 1990s. It was about that time that the Trinity River Project got going, and as we did our planning with the Corps of Engineers on the upper and lower chains, we were going to have to buy over 1,000 acres of mitigation land, and we needed land with good trees. This tract has really good trees along it, but with it came our old landfills. And so the kind of the good news about the old landfills is that they were above the 100-year floodplain, which made them developable tracts. And so we got our landfills back. We had leased them previously, and now we are the owner of them. We began working with TCEQ because over time the previous owner had not properly maintained the cap, and the cap had eroded in places. Part of the side slope of one of the landfills had eroded, and we had the surface trash accumulation. And so we were working with TCEQ on that. And we became the proud owners of all of this back in 2008 as a part of the Trinity River Project.
So I noticed in the history there were some other owners mentioned. Were they not associated with this illegal dumping and that kind of a thing?
So what was happening is while we were talking to the Metropolitan Sand and Gravel, they were also talking to, in this case, the Weir brothers about buying their property. And if memory serves me right, the Weir brothers had entered into some type of purchase contract. It was never, the title wasn't ever transferred to them, but they must have had like an option or some, there was some kind of contract. So by the time it came to us, the final land purchase was kind of a three-way deal between Metropolitan Sand and Gravel, the Weir Brothers, and us. We were also buying a different tract of land on the west side of the Trinity from the Weir Brothers, and we also had the Weir Brothers in the downtown Dallas business of the demolition of the building, and so it was done as a settlement of kind of all of that. But the property itself was Metropolitan Sand and Gravel.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Clemon. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just kind of weigh in just a little bit on this deal. For folks that don't really know about that area, it's the area of Dallas that Port Dallas did not want came to Loop 12 and 45. We got the landfill. I don't have to go back through it to tell you everything that we have and we had there. Jill, I also want you to look at, while we're doing this construction and planning, and Tanel and everyone involved, and Rick, that particular area of Loop 12, try driving down, and you can just drive right off the road, and you can be missing. If your car were to veer off the road, you could be missing, and folks wouldn't find you for weeks. They would be looking for you just as we're looking for the jet, that's the missing Malaysia jet, and then it's been like this all of my life. Now, who's ever responsible for that? If that is the state, if that is Senator Royce West, whomever it is, then there needs to be guardrails. These are things that are not there. And then over the years when it would flood, if a car were to go down there, you're dealing with water moccasins and everything else. Now, just think, if your car run off the road and cars have ran off the road late at night into those waters, check and see vehicles that have gone off. And so this has been an area that people really neglected and did not care about. And you got to hear the truth, and you got to understand the excitement that we have when something is going to come. That is why we're excited, because we've been driving down the dark, and there's no lights, and there's no railing to keep a car from going off into a ravine, into the flood waters with water moccasins. I want you to understand that. Now, we've gotten rid of them, so we're not going to have them for the golf course. So I don't want folks to start thinking we got water moccasins for the golf course. They're all gone now. I got to clean that up for you. But at the end of the day, we're excited that we got a golf course coming. And we're excited that just yesterday, Gia, you and I were in my office, and there was a banker that's very excited about working with small businesses to give them small business assistance for different types of retail that's going to come from this. So it's a lot of excitement going on there, and it's well and long overdue. Now, with that being said as well, I want to take this opportunity and suggest, AC, that this Dallas City Council, Mayor, that we get on vans and buses and we go out and we take this tour, just as the Planning Commission does. They go out and they see, because we're making decisions on something that's on paper. We don't have, some of us don't have the visual knowledge of exactly what is taking place, what is needed, and the potential progress and improvements that can come from this effort. But now, and that's very important, AC, because not only do I want us to look at the golf course, and I support the golf course wholeheartedly. I can't play golf very well, but when I come out there, I'm going to look the part until I hit the first tee, all right? And everybody better dark duck when I do that. But I want us also, and this is very important, I want us to also look at the total picture when we go, not just the golf course,
I want us to look at the total picture of what it's going to take to redevelop that entire area. I want us to also go over to that horse park. And I said this the other day, Mayor, that the horse park, we've already invested into that horse park.
Let me try to keep you on the golf course.
I'm on the golf course. That facility across from the golf course. It is in need of some support. And I say that because as we've talked about the Fair Park, and Lee, I'm going to kind of go the park department. I think Lee mentioned the park department and taking over.
And I stopped him from talking about it.
Okay. Well, that department that is there. Yes. but here's the deal. They have enough responsibility right now trying to get Fair Park off the ground. And I think that we need to continue to move forward with our Trinity Watershed and folks that's dealing with this on a daily basis. Now, that other place across the street, it need to have some money. And let me tell you why I want us to take a tour of the golf course and the place across the street, because they have already begun construction.
Okay, Mr. Kelly, I'm
speaking of the golf course.
No, focus on the golf course.
I'm focusing
please.
On the golf course. They've okay. already begun construction. And when we look at the golf course and everything in that area, we must, in this upcoming budget cycle, begin to get serious because we've made an investment in that area and that golf course in that area. And we need to, before we move forward, make sure that they have every tool in their box so that it will be as important and stable for that community, and we won't have to go back and burden the future councils for trying to figure out how we can repair something that's before us and under our power today. So thank you for that, but I do want to take a tour of the golf course, the area, and that little place across the street.
I think it'd be good. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I, too, will be supporting these items, and I hope, Jill, we can get some housing around this golf course. I think that would be it's going to be a beautiful place and make beautiful residences for people, and that's one of the big ways we can get economic development from the golf course. I, too, share Mr. Carraway's concern about the place across the street from the golf course, the horse park. My biggest concern with this horse park right now is our pending contract with someone who's... Now
guys.
I get cut off now.
I cut him off.
You tried, and okay, Tanel well, went off on.
Go ahead for go ahead another 15 seconds, and I'll cut you off again.
All right. Is the contract on the horse park with the conviction, this animal abuse conviction, of the person who will be operating it? I believe we can do better than that, Jill. So that's my big concern, and I'm really waiting for a briefing on that. And every chance I get,
until
I get that briefing, I'll bring it up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And I will also be supporting these items, but I want to thank Councilman.
What do you want to get off subject about?
Oh, I just want to thank Councilman.
I'm joking.
Carraway and Councilman Griggs circumlocution on the subject. That's what I want. That's what I want to deviate from. But I will be supporting those. But I want you to envision, just like the Greek mythology about the story about the ancient bird, the phoenix, out of these ashes, which was the Audubon Center, that out of this area, that is going to be the stimuli which is going to make everything gel. We had a $2 million fire there, and I tell you, it took weeks and weeks for the Dallas Fire and Rescue people to put that out. But from that Audubon Center, now it's coming the horse park, it's also coming the golf course, and the synergy that we're going to have there is going to be great. But I want to applaud Mayor Pro Tem Atkins for his passion and delivering when it really counted the most in our part of town. It's so critical. I wish you could just see the beauty of that area and the things that are going to come about as a result of that. I also want to thank Councilwoman Von Seal Jones Hill for her support of that other thing that's right across the street from the golf course.
Guys.
So anyway, thank you all for your leadership. Let's take the van ride. I know Jill and I have been working on putting that together, and we're just going to have more buses now. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to commend Mayor Rawlings. Mayor Rawlings was the first person who said to Mr. Atkins and myself, let's bring the golf course to where it is. And when he first said that, he said, now don't go out shouting this, because I'm not sure right now if I can make everything happen. We did not shout. He went and took care of business, and now we've got a golf course. So, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Several years ago, when I came to this council, I said to the then council, catch the vision for that portion of the city. I said, try to see the hotel, see the bowling alley, see the bookstore. I continue to say the same thing. Catch the vision, because the golf course and whatever else is there will explode with economic development. Just catch the vision. Councilmember Grayson, I understand your voters' reluctance. I get that, because they live a far distance away. But I invite them, if they have opportunity, to come down 45, take a look, and catch my vision. I won't be on this council. I'll be long since in other places doing a whole lot of other things before the vision that I see is completed. But it will be completed, and this golf course and everything in that area is a tremendous part of that. Mr. Mayor, what I will not talk about is the suggestion that any part of the Trinity watershed management be dissipated to another department. I will not say that if we were to do that,
good, then don't say it,
we would lose the money that we've gotten through the Trinity River Project. I won't say that. I'll say it at the proper time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge. All right. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I want to say thank you, Council. Thank you, everybody that's worked on it. And thank you for the private citizens that have caught the vision that Judge Hill talked about. This is a private enterprise, so people aren't standing up and saying, look how much money I gave to this, and look how the memberships that I, you know, that I enrolled. But this is an expensive proposition by a lot of private individuals for us to be to this place. And there is a quiet group of Dallasites that love this city so much, and they have come forth in a major way. And I believe it's just the beginning of that wonderful gateway that that Mr. Atkins talked about, and we're going to get those homes, and we're going to get the development all around it. So thank you, Council. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next item is agenda item number 32, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There are no full council appointments this morning. You do have some individual as well as the vice chair appointment. This is a change from the report that you received last night, but the report was amended and provided around the horseshoe. Then we have two nominees for vice chair to the City Planning and Zoning Commission, and that will be voted on separately. Therefore, for first consideration, to the Board of Adjustment, Scott Hounsell is nominated by Councilmember Griggs. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, Duren Sein is nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Landmark Commission, Paul R. Farrenbrook is nominated by Councilmember Davis and has historic preservation experience. Michael P. Lavuolo is nominated as vice chair by Councilmember Medrano to the Community Development Commission.
Mr. Mayor.
Please, Ms. Grayson.
Ms. Rios, I just wanted to say his name is Darren Singe.
Singe?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
You have for your consideration two nominees as vice chair to the City Plan and Zoning Commission. Robert Uptahi is nominated by Councilmember Cadane, and Michael W. Anglin is nominated by Councilmember Griggs. We have ballot votes.
Where are they?
Unless council decides to do otherwise.
No.
We'll be distributing.
Ballot votes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have ballots?
Yes. They're going to be distributed now.
Let's go.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. We had an indication maybe by motion.
No.
When you finish casting your votes, please raise it and staff will pick it up. And we will return with the results later this afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
What's the date?
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item.
The following statements are going to apply to agenda items number 33, 34, 35, and addendum items number 6 through 7. We were informed by the city attorney's office this morning that agenda item 33 is a sub-city matter, therefore we require the statement as well as 2 seconds. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item number 33 is authorized on-site reconstruction of one home in accordance with the requirements of the reconstruction program statement for the property located at 2507 Harlandale Avenue. Requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Mr. Caraway.
Mr. Move approved.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'm sorry. I apologize. Ms. Grayson voted nay.
Agenda item number 34 and 35 need to be considered collectively. 34 is authorize a development agreement with Trinity Groves LLC to dedicate future TIF revenues to subsidize costs related to the development of Trinity Groves Phases 1 and 2 in the West Dallas Subdistrict of Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone 7 Sports Arena TIF District in an amount not to exceed $3,505,000 in the form of a TIF grant from revenues accruing to the Sports Arena TIF District. Agenda item number 35 is a resolution declaring the intent of the Sports Arena TIF District to reimburse Trinity Groves LLC up to $3,505,000 for TIF eligible project costs pursuant to the development agreement with Trinity Groves LLC. These items require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Alonzo.
Do I make a motion to move this forward, item 34 and 35?
Yes.
Okay.
Together.
I make a motion to
We got a motion and a second by Ms. Kingston.
Mr. Kingston and Mr. Medrano.
And Mr. Medrano.
Thank you.
Discussion, Ms. Grayson.
I just wanted to say that is turning into the coolest place. They're doing a great job.
Thank you. That's great. I agree. All right. Any others? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 is authorize a housing development loan in an amount not to exceed $63,000 with East Dallas Community Organization for the construction of two affordable single-family homes located at 4529 and 4531 Garland Avenue. The item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. I want to entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay, approve addendum item number 6.
We got a motion and a second.
I need one more.
Ms. Alonzo, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 7 is authorize a housing development loan in an amount not to exceed $283,363 with South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation for construction of four affordable single-family homes for the Pittman Development Project located along the 3100 block of Linway Street. This item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. Ms. Davis.
I move to approve this agenda item, which is addendum number 7.
Second.
We got 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your morning session, Mr. Mayor.
We will reconvene at 1 p.m. Thank
Could
you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Ms. Grayson.
Ms. Rios, were you going to address the vice chair of CDC position at the time you gave the ballot results? Because I didn't hear you say that.
I did announce
You did? I'm sorry. I missed it. So, okay. Thank you.
Who got
it? Thank you.
Meeting recessed at 11:31.
Okay, it's 1:03 p.m. On Wednesday, April 9th, we will move to our afternoon agenda, public hearings and related actions. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have the results of the ballot. Would you like to announce that or wait
Please,
until later
go ahead.
In the afternoon? Thank you. Earlier this morning, we have two nominees as vice chair of the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Robert Abtahi and Michael W. Anglin. Ballots were cast. Mr. Abtahi received 9 votes. Therefore, he is appointed as vice chair to the City Plan and Zoning Commission. We proceed now with your zoning consent agenda item, which consists of agenda items number 36 through 39. Agenda item 36 has been pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Davis. Agenda item 39 has been pulled by Councilmember Callahan. Therefore, agenda items 37, 38 are the only ones now that comprise your zoning cases consent agenda. Those two will be read into the record, and it'll be open for the public for speaking. Agenda item number 37 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansion of Plan Development District number 849 with the expansion area zone tracts 1 and 3 of Plan Development District number 716 in an R5A single-family subdistrict or Plan Development District number 595, the South Dallas Fair Park Special Purpose District, on property generally bounded by Bertrand Avenue, Imperial Street, Monty Street, Legal Street, Hatcher Street, and Sine Road. Are there any individuals? I'm sorry. Agenda item 38 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an open enrollment charter school on property on the north corner of East Grand Avenue and South Glasgow Drive. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Ma'am, individuals, if you please come forward. Again, we're calling for speakers that are in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the items. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Your comments need to be directed to the mayor. As well, you'll notice the timer. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. And please state your name and address for the record. Again, you may approach the podium.
No, right here, right there with the microphone. And just pull that microphone down close to your mouth, ma'am. There you go. Thank you.
And you'll notice a timer right there on the podium. So you may proceed.
I have lived in this grade for 50 years. And I'm very opposed to the changes that I'm going to be down because... East Grand, that property was designated to be a church. And in East Dallas, as far as I know, we are loaded with schools. From Ross to East Grand, there are 8 schools that I know. And over there in City Park, the city just closed a school. Why don't you put the school in that school that is already established and it's already had the facilities? I was a member of this Grand Baptist Church for 25 years. There is not enough bathrooms. There is not enough recreation areas. What you're going to do is put a fence in front of our house so you can have recreation areas, close some of the streets. That is not necessary. There's already a street that is closed because there is a kindergarten going on, which is not very close, not in a walking distance from where I live. It's on Parkview and Wayne. They closed that street. It's not a handicap to me, but it has been a handicap for the neighbors in that neighborhood. Do you know that our area in East Dallas is considered the low-income neighborhood, but we pay taxes. And in the long years that I have lived there, you should go and see the sidewalks in that neighborhood. The alleys, I practically sat on the phone for you to do something, because when we have heavy rain, all the water accumulates there and it looks like a swimming pool. Finally, they did something. But there's another place I live. I have an alley in the back and an alley on the side. That alley on the side is like a highway. People come in there, people go in there, trucks go there. The alley in the back of my house, I had to call especially, practically, I told that I pay if you pay, if you put something to stop the traffic in the back. Finally, my husband works for the city. He is with the street department, and he told this guy, please, put some stuff in there. So they put a railroad in there, and the traffic stopped finally. But the one that is on the side, it hasn't stopped. I mean, I don't know why you're going to put the school there. It's already done, because I see trucks there coming in and out with equipment, changing, remodeling. It's already done.
Thank you.
And you know that our neighborhood is considered to be a low-income. But you know, nurses have come from the neighborhood. Doctors have come from our neighborhood. Lawyers have come from the neighborhood.
Thank you.
And if you please, football players, Steve Bryan and another basketball player have come from that neighborhood.
Thank you.
The only thing when you want to change something is when you mail letters. And I work with a lady that does the planning, something with the city. But this has been going on for years.
Ma'am.
And you just
okay, ma'am, I need to know your name.
That's right.
And your address? And your address? Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve item number 38.
I think we're doing 37 and 38.
37 and 38. But that,
yeah, it's consent. It was just consent. Both of them are in the consent agenda. We just read it. So, do you second the motion?
Yes.
The motion?
Second.
Okay, great. Now, let's speak on it. Thank you.
Yeah, before we go, I wasn't going to have anyone speak, but I think that the Reconciliation Academy, if you would come down and let them know what you're going to do, how much money you're going to put into the church and other things like that for the school to be there in the neighborhood. We've had numerous meetings with the neighborhood, and I think that... just for the record, would you let them know what's going on and what's going to happen there?
Robert Reeves, 900 Jackson Street, Suite 160 in Dallas, representing the applicant, Reconciliation Academy. We are taking essentially a vacant church building, the East Grand Baptist Church, and we'll be using it for an open enrollment charter school, grades pre-K through ninth grade. No high school, no kids driving cars. We're going to spend $4 million purchasing the property and renovating the church to use it for a school. As Councilman Medrano indicated, we've had numerous neighborhood meetings. We've responded to all kinds of input that we received. We've submitted a traffic management plan approved by the city. We're restricting access on Glasgow. Total prohibiting egress and ingress off of Glasgow, which I believe this lady lives on Glasgow, during school hours. All the egress and ingress will go off a street called Chrysler. and must turn right over to East Grand so it didn't go through the neighborhood. So we've done a lot of homework under the leadership of Councilman Medrano, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything, Ms. Medrano?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Now, Ms. Davis. Where is Ms. Davis? She was right there.
She thought it was.
There you go. Here we go. Okay. I think Ms. Davis wanted to opine on item 37. With your microphone? Thank you.
I guess I was just confused on 37.
Are you okay? You don't need to say anything?
No, because I'm in support of this agenda item. And I just want to make sure that I'm on the record of supporting this item. Yes.
Okay, good. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Our motion is carried. I do want to jump in on item 37. I think, Ms. Davis, you're doing a great job of this is such an important project for the South Dallas Fair Park area. Hatcher Station is going to be a great DART TOD, if you will. Parkland is going to be bringing it, first of its kind down there to the area. I know Pastor Parrish has been working hard on it as well. Everybody, the community has come in a major way. So when we get this thing done, it's going to change that area in a major way. So thank you for your leadership, Ms. Davis.
And I also like to have the team to stand. Will the FRI team stand, please, so they can be recognized? I really, really want to thank you guys for what you guys have done. I want to thank the city staff. I want to thank the team we've met. We have wonderful meetings pulling this project together. Andrea, thank you. Thank you. Dorothy, thank you. And your team, thank you as well. Thank you, sir, for what you guys done. Now, we're going to have a small groundbreaking ceremony May the 1st at 11 o'clock. And so we'll be sending everybody an invitation to come. This will be Dorothy, come down a little. Just come down. Dorothy is shy. Come on down, Dorothy. Dorothy, and just give a little brief about this project, and I'm very, very excited about this. And if you guys see me, I'm going on and on. This is so needed in our community. And Dorothy, just talk a little about what's going to happen.
Yes, I am very shy and embarrassed to stand up here. But first of all, I do want to say thank you all very much for approving our zoning and for helping the entire city council and the city staff expedite this process through. It's been really a lot of fun. The project will be a 44,000 square foot community-oriented primary care facility that Parkland will occupy. We will build it. Parkland will occupy it for 25 years and have an option to purchase at some point. So I think it'll has the opportunity to serve 55,000 patients a year, mm-hmm. and very much needed in this community. So thank you very much.
Right. And the ridership they expect is over 8,000 people, more people to come into that community for wellness check and health care needs. So I'm very, very excited. And thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and I will make sure that we talk about it when we do our annual Grow South presentation as well. Next item?
Next item.
Excuse me, Mr. Caraway wanted to speak.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Davis, where is this exactly located? Is this where the around the corner from Truly?
It's at the corner of Hatchard and Sain. You remember?
Is it where that motel, the American Inn motel,
no,
and all that development was?
It's where that little shopping strip.
The shopping strip where all of the stuff
years
was
ago.
Going on. Okay. But I just wanted to commend you for that. And, you know, we tore down that American Inn motel, and then you tore down the rest of that.
Right.
And I'm just thrilled that you guys have stepped up to the plate to revitalize that entire mm-hmm. community. Mayor, it is one heck of a stretch. If you
yep.
go back, Teresa's aware of it, go back and close your eyes and look at what was once there
mm-hmm.
and all of that activity that was once there.
In the 80s.
And once you, and we continue, Mayor, to clean up and remove the crime and remove all of those bad elements, then things like this will come. So I just want to say thank you, Ms. Davis, and thank you guys. All right? Thank you.
Thank you. The next item.
We move now to agenda item number 36, a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of and an amendment to specific use permit number 370 for a child care facility and to add a community service center use on property on the north corner of Leland Avenue and Marburg Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 78 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 7 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Councilmember Davis pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am first going to approve this item number 36 for a daycare facility and a community service center, but I want to make one change to it. Instead of a 10-year period, I'd like to do a 5-year period with no automatic renewal. And that's the staff recommendation.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Cadane, turn your mic on.
I'm sorry. Did you say go from a 10 to a 5?
The CPC recommended 10 years. Staff is recommending 5 years.
I'm sorry. I didn't see.
I'm going with staff recommendation.
You're going with staff.
For now.
Thank you.
With no automatic renewal.
With no automatic renewal.
Right.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. So we have.
That's what you said.
Right.
That's right.
No automatic renewal.
Thank you. We have motion and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 39 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1334 for a child care facility on property on the west side of North St. Augustine Drive, north of Elam Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning changes recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. Child care facility may only operate between 6 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Monday through Friday.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have a second. Any discussion?
I just want to ask one thing.
Mr. Carraway?
I support this. I just want to ask one thing. What was the time again?
It's 6 o'clock a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. It was formerly 6:30 a.m., so we're giving them an additional 30-minute window earlier in the morning.
But I was just kind of concerned about the pickup time. How does this affect if a parent is running late, you know, and they have
to... I'm not sure. This is what they requested.
So okay, that's fine. I'm
simply
with
acquiescing with what
good
they
deal.
Requested.
I'm with it.
Thank you.
But all if they need longer, we can go longer.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a WMU3 walkable mixed-use urban use district on property at the east corner of Hatcher Street and Raysold Street, with consideration being given to the granting of a planned development district for mixed uses.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 78 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 7 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am in support of this agenda, item number 40. This parkland is going to be across the street at the corner of Hatcher and Syene. This particular development will be across the street from where Parkland would be at. And they are beginning to purchase that whole corner to redevelop that end of that corner. So I'm very, very excited about this agenda item as well. So I will be in favor of this item number 40.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we have a second? A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 41 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from the Sam Houston Elementary School to allow a restaurant with a mixed beverage permit pursuant to Chapter 28 of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code with a food and beverage certificate on property on the south side of Cedar Springs Road between Douglas Avenue and Knight Street. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Sir, if you'll please come forward. Mr. Sheridan, you have 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you. Rich Sheridan, 11301 Tennis Road, Dallas, Texas. I'm against granting the variance until a new ordinance is passed concerning these variants, putting alcohol establishments, retail establishments closer to our schools than what was originally passed years ago. Sam Houston Elementary School is in DSD District 8, I believe. And what a coincidence, I'm a candidate for trustee in District 8. And this is a great opportunity, one of the opportunities for the city and DSD to work together. A drunken mother just killed two of her children, and her two other children have been taken away from her. This is just another tragedy of alcohol abuse. We already had the disgrace of a drunk Dallas Cowboy killing a teammate, and the tragedy of a young boy killing four people. Texas is number one nationally in DWIs. Also, for some reason, the incidences of DWIs are highest in the Hispanic community, maybe because of the Hispanic community represents Dallas' biggest population. That's the first assumption, I think, reasonable assumption you can make. Back to the drunken Hispanic woman who killed two of her children. Suppose at another school which had an alcohol variance granted a while ago, and there's been a number of them, suppose that at that school was attended by one of the Hispanic woman's children. Suppose her child experienced an alcohol awareness event at his or her school triggered by an alcohol spacing variance request. Suppose her child had then gone home and said, "Mommy, why don't you buy a breathalyzer at CVS or Walgreens? They're only $60 and it might help you, Mommy." I think children are aware of their parents' activities. Suppose that an alcoholic Hispanic DWI had bought a breathalyzer and became more aware of her condition.
What's this got to
do with it? And the dangers that she was putting, it has to do with an ordinance that would be put in place that would require alcohol awareness to be conducted at all the schools by the company that wants to have this variance occur. That's what I'm asking for.
Thank you, Mr.
I'm
Sheridan.
Against this. My 3 minutes are not up, Mayor. May I continue?
You've got it.
Thank you. One of the solutions to our DWI problem might be blowing in the wind from some people's mouths. Let's better protect our children and their parents by passing an ordinance requiring an alcohol awareness event every time that a business requests such a variance. We are in an alcohol epidemic at our schools and our colleges. I think that's been quite obvious with news events lately. Thank you very much. I'm against this until we pass a new ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Are there any other individuals on the item? We have another individual coming forward.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. And, Ms. Weir, I think that we're starting a trend on this, unless Mr. Sheridan suggested the council pass another variance ordinance, because over by Lincoln High School, there's a store called Little World. And for years, it had taken us years to stop them from selling alcohol over there because they were selling alcohol to some of those young children that were coming in. So if you start that trend on one, and I did hear at one time that I don't know if there's any movement on it, they were trying to get alcohol again in Little World. I don't know, but I'm saying you're starting a trend, and what will stop Little World, the owners, from coming down here and asking for a variance as far as selling alcohol over by Lincoln? And it's a stone's throw from Lincoln High School. And right now they still have problems with the those young students congregate in a Little World. So, I mean, you know, we have to do some thinking on that and come up with another ordinance or something, because you're starting a trend that, you know, if you do it for one, you have to do it for the other. And then you do it for one, you're doing it for the other, you end up in court, someone suing you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
And Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry. Excuse me for interrupting. This item does require 2 seconds as it's an alcohol variance.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, I move to approve item number 41.
Second. We have 2 seconds. Discussion, Ms. Davis.
Yes, let me just say, with PD 595 and around Little World, that's why we put PD 595 into place, so that if they were to try to come back and ask for such things as beer and wine, that it will be notified, the community will be notified and under an SUP process. And because they are 1,000 feet from a school, then the state and then the school have input on it as well. So that's why Little World I'm not saying they won't do it, but it will be extremely hard.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 8 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from Henry W. Longfellow Middle School to allow a restaurant with a mixed beverage permit pursuant to Chapter 28 of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code with a food and beverage certificate on property on the southeast corner of West Lovers Lane and Inwood Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the issue? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds as it's an alcohol variance request.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank the restaurant group that's putting this together. We've notified all the neighboring neighborhoods, and also we had conversations with the school, and we have no opposition to this. It's also important to note that the actual restaurant is compatible with the other uses. There are several restaurants in the area that serve alcohol. It's over 600 feet, actually, the restaurant to the school. So I will be moving to approve this item or this variance.
Thank you. Do we have another second? Motion 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your agenda items. We move now to your afternoon speakers. First speaker will be Marvin Crenshaw, Lynn Kwa, Randolph Shahid, and John Slake Young. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, quorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room for the session of the meeting. Again, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please address your comments specifically to Mayor Rawlings. If you'll notice the timer, when the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. Thank you. Again, your first speaker will be Marvin Crenshaw, followed by Lynn Kwa, Randolph Shahid, and John Slake Young.
Thank you.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. Again, Mr. Mayor, and we have been talking since you were elected, and you ran on a platform of transparency, correct? I attended the Charter Review Commission meeting last night, and I also had gotten a copy of your addendum items. And on that, in which I spoke to Ms. Ragsdale last night about this, that I saw that ICDC was getting a $284,000 or $294,000 from the city, and that it doesn't look right with Ms. Ragsdale being on the Charter Review Commission and this item coming up at this present time. And I think it has a possibility of staining her reputation. And I think you shouldn't do that, because it does not look right. It does not smell right. So I guess you have already voted on it, but all it takes is, and I did ask one of the city attorneys last night about that, and I was told that, but you know, I guess it was okay with them. You know, if nobody's not going to say anything, if you're not going to say anything, but it doesn't look right. Now, how are you going to have someone on the Charter Review Commission and they're getting $294,000 from the city? It does not look right. And secondly, I will be coming down and I'll be talking about South Lake, Texas, because I was out there in December protesting and picketing, and there was an incident that happened out there that just blew my mind. And there were some people that work at the city of Dallas that were involved in it, Mr. Mayor. And I'm going to talk to you about that when I can make an appointment with you. It's not going to take long, but it's something that should be addressed. But again, I do hope that this council looks at that regarding the charter review and that $284,000, because it does not look right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
The next speaker is Lynn Kwa. Ms. Kwa will be followed by Randolph Shaheed.
Hi, thank you for your time today. I'm actually here to speak about a small business that I own and my family owns. But I came here as a refugee, and when we were growing up, I really didn't have any healthy options for food. If we were poor, my parents just made food at home. But then I was inspired with the mobile food truck industry here to create something that was healthy. And so my family's been doing the smoothie business for about 10 years in Houston and California. And so I really wanted to bring it to Dallas. I live and work in Dallas. I have several small businesses, and one of them is the smoothie business. I understand there's a lot of regulations and things that are going on in Dallas regarding the mobile food industry. But one of the things that I've noticed and why I brought this up was that there is not a lot of healthy options, and no one's really looking into that. And so one of the things our smoothie business does is that we do bring fresh fruit smoothies, and it's for children and adults. And one of the areas that we serve, you know, is downtown Dallas. I live and work here, and we could not get into certain places. One of them is Clyde Warren. I know Mr. Kerway has done a great job of bringing culture downtown and bringing some variety into that area. And if you go there, you'll see only options for desserts are cupcakes, ice cream, and pretty much cupcakes and ice cream, and shaved ice, snow cones. All sweet, all sugar, nothing healthy. And so we're trying to get in there, but we keep getting the same request that it's a waiting list. Or you got to know somebody. Unfortunately, I don't know anyone in that area. And so I'm here asking for someone's help in the city council to help with this initiative. It's not just about this small business, but it's also about figuring a way to bring these healthy initiatives there. Because there is so many people everywhere in Dallas coming to Clyde Warren. And it's an amazing opportunity to serve them. But a lot of times there's not affordability. The restaurant is not affordable to all the different types of incomes, people that do come there. And food trucks are a good option. But can we actually have another option that could be something that kids can go to and say, hey, we're doing this. And one of the other things that I want to say is that I, with my smoothie business, I love downtown Dallas, and so I spend we get all our inventory at Farmers Market. And so I want to do everything we can to support our community, not just through this business, but through health initiatives and everything. So if there's anyone that would like to take this on, that would be amazing. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming down.
Your next speaker is Randolph Shaheed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Grayson.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm sorry, Ms. Davis.
Sorry, Mr. Shaheed. Mr. Shaheed, if you would wait
one
moment,
here.
Please.
Hold on here. Turn yours off. Thank you. Did you say something you wanted to talk? Ms. Gates?
Yes. I just had a question. Who would be the best person to direct her inquiry about how to be able to, you know, park at Clyde Warren Park? Who would that be? Is there someone we could direct her to?
Willis will take care of it.
Okay.
Willis Winters right there will talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaheed. You may proceed.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. First of all, my name is Apostle Randolph Shaheed. I live at 1155 Greenbrook Drive in DeSoto. I don't know which individual council member that I'm to thank, so I guess I'll just thank each and every one of you for an initiative, a vision of Dallas being such a great city that it is, to come up with that idea to use that vacant land in the county of Dallas and using ex-offenders who have professional jobs inside of prison and that great mind of being an entrepreneur, you all have allowed them to get out of prison with the skills that they have in agriculture, with livestock, and you put them on that land so that they can work it, since they did all that working for 20 years or more in prison. I thought that it was a great idea. And then to have a city with the vision of Dallas, to have all this homelessness, and then one of the great minds of our city said, you know what, since I'm a multimillionaire, we're just going to partner and make sure that homelessness is eradicated overnight. I think that that's an excellent idea, to get rid of the homelessness overnight, when homelessness, and when you think about the opposite of homelessness, is having homes. Whoever came up with that idea, I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, because problems are in cities to be solved, and with great minds, we have solutions. And I want to thank the city of Dallas, this great, honorable city council, and you, Mayor, for heading that initiative. And I want to say, keep the vision alive. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Your final speaker is John Slakay Young. Not present. That concludes your speakers and your all your agenda items.
Thank you. Meeting is adjourned at 1:40 p.m. Thank you.